There's a lot of debate right now about these license plate scanners that are going up across the country. They're called flock cameras. People are worried that the police might misuse them. Have you heard of them?
Yep.
What's your stance?
Well, it's being studied right now. You know, you have pros and cons, right? It's being studied right now. We'll have an answer sort of as to our views on it over the next couple of weeks.
In a chilling expansion of America's already exponentially sprawling surveillance grid, networks like Flock Safety have been revealed as the tip of a far more invasive spear.
Where is this place?
I just told you.
I don't know where it is.
Okay, I have you on camera.
Okay.
You taking a package and walking away. Is there any reason why you would have done that?
Nope.
You were in town from 11:52 until 12:09, exactly. Like I said, nothing gets in or out of the town without us knowing about it.
11:52 a.m.?
Yes. I can show you. And here's when you left at 12:09. That's when you left town. It is her. It is 100%. It is locked in. There is zero doubt. I wouldn't have come here unless I was 100% sure. 100%. It is certain. It is on video. You're obviously welcome to go to court.
We're assuming he had to see in the vehicle at some capacity to see that I looked like that individual, because he was providing nothing else to say, oh, here I see you getting out of the truck, and here I see this person stealing. He didn't have any of that. He strictly had, this is your vehicle, and then this looks like you. Well, how did you put that together?
So this police officer is using flock cameras to argue you committed a crime, and you have all of your own cameras to prove that you didn't commit the crime.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the Ring camera footage of the woman who actually stole the package, it is 1,000% not you. You can easily see that.
Yes.
A leaked presentation showed the company pitching state officials on integrating live dash cam feeds from hundreds of thousands of Uber, Lyft, and delivery vehicles systems that already generate trillions of high-resolution images of license plates and vehicle details into its national database. Had the partnership proceeded, fixed roadside cameras would have been joined by a mobile swarm of more than 350,000 roaming sensors, filling every gap in urban and regional coverage in near real time and creating an unbroken real-time map of every vehicle's movements. The constitutional implications of this architecture have only grown sharper. A recent 6-3 Supreme Court decision held that police request for the location of every phone near a given place and time, known as geofence warrants, constitute a Fourth Amendment search requiring probable cause. While the ruling addressed phone data rather than cameras, its logic directly implicates Flock's networks. A single camera snapshot may be fleeting, but a dense, searchable web of linked sensors functions as a continuous tracker of public movements. Records already show these databases are queried hundreds of thousands of times by agencies far beyond the local police who install them.
So here's a flock camera pointed directly at the schoolyard, monitoring where each kid walks, how they get home, if there's an adult with them, which car is picking them up. And this camera is owned by a friend of Jeffrey Epstein who shared over 2,000 emails. How are you guys not outraged about this? A pedophile is recording our children and tracking them.
Cameras have been documented pointed directly at schoolyards and playgrounds, raising acute concerns when one of Flock's major investors is known to have exchanged more than 2,400 emails with Jeffrey Epstein, and another investor is linked to an Israeli cyber firm capable of hacking security cameras and manipulating video footage. Big tech oligarchs, now inextricably intertwined with the intelligence community and military through contracts and political donations, are pouring resources into data centers worldwide, not merely for commercial AI, but to accelerate their transhumanist vision to merge humanity with machines. The result is an overzealous, hyperactive, illegal surveillance state that no longer merely watches citizens in the name of safety, but seeks to render every movement predictable, controllable, and ultimately enforceable. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. Here's the deal. I'm the head of the Illuminati. That's well known. So definitely we're killing the planet. Human life is not worth anything.
I don't know about anything.
We should get rid of the majority of people.
Die. Die.
Let's try and
die.
And that will end all war until there's peace.
He's crazy.
We gotta kill every varmint. We gotta get everything.
It'd be incredible.
Okay, Alex, I'll debate you, all right? I'm going to take the position that Israel is undue influence in U.S. electoral politics. AIPAC should register under FARA. They pressured us, forcing our hand into the Iranian war, for which it's undermined our interests, and they're currently undermining our interests in the Middle East. I'll take that position. And then I guess you'll take the pro side, like why you support Israel, I guess.
I'm criticizing you because I'm sick of people getting on bandwagons who meet secretly with the Israeli prime minister for propaganda purposes, then coming in and jumping on top of an Israeli propaganda operation against me. So whether you took money from them or not, you met with them, and you're regurgitating their crap.
But Israel is intentionally dragging us into this war, and also Israel has
I think you got Israel derangement syndrome.
Okay, well,
I call it Israel-Palestine derangement
okay,
syndrome.
Okay, then let me... Well, so first of all, Israel... This is on two separate... Do you know the story of Israel wiretapping the White House and blackmailing Bill Clinton?
No.
Okay, well, this is you can see this in the New York Post. There's been two independently written books on this.
Yeah, but do you know the story about the NSA wiretapping Angela Merkel?
No, okay, sure. I'm just saying...
I'm giving you examples.
If Israel doesn't treat us like an ally, Israel ropes us into these things because they know we're going to back
them up. Germany like an ally, which is the point.
No, I know, but
welcome to international espionage and warfare.
But if you're America first, why would you want to get exploited into this war in the Middle East that you care so little about?
Why are you trying to make me single on Israel when all of these other countries are doing equally or worse things?
So, everybody's asking, it's a huge story, I didn't intend to be this big, what's the beef between me and Tim Pool? X came out over the weekend, did a major update, and it basically killed all the live streams, entertainment shows, media shows, conservative liberal shows. Everybody was saying, oh my God, this is devastating. We figured it was a glitch. We didn't even show the live feed when you posted it. And I said, this is probably just a glitch. Please fix it. And they fix it by Monday. Well, by Monday evening, Tim Pool comes out and says, that's because you criticized Trump and basically the war, so you're not popular now. And the fact that that was a mirror of all these known Israeli bots and people associated with Israeli propaganda, which is on record, $1.3 billion this year alone, financed by the Knesset to brainwash the American people. I mean, this is treason. And the primary members of Congress and to pass the NDAA for Israel to take over. And when I saw him post on a video I did where I explained, okay, turns out it was just a glitch like we thought, really let me know he's following Israeli talking points and it pissed me off, okay? And then I pointed out last night that he met secret with Netanyahu. It came out in the Israeli news months after last year. He admitted, okay, I met with him secret, but the details are secret chat amounts rules. He spun that and others did. Yeah, I announced I met with him. It was public. The bot said, oh, it was a public podcast. It was cameras, TV there. None of that's true.
I got late word that I was invited to a private roundtable meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It was under what's called Chatham House rules. For those that are not familiar, this means that you cannot reveal anybody who attended, nor attribute anything to any one individual, as they can deny it, and they would. I legit thought they would maintain Chatham House rules, meaning you can't quote the prime minister, you can't quote his officials and the other people who were there, but you can report what was said generally. If you wanted an official quote on a specific matter, you would then ask an official once the meeting was wrapped, and they'd provide you the exact quote. Or they would just say outright, like, we ain't putting our quotes on that one.
So maybe Tim's just dumb and copied what the Israeli bots were putting out, but he does meet with the guy that gives the orders in their eighth part of the eight-front war.
This is the eighth front. The disinformation campaign is humongous. You know, it takes a second for a lie to circulate the world, and then you have to battle it with the only weapon you have, which is the truth. And truth is slower than lies and more difficult to ascertain because you have to get the facts. You have to, when you lie, you can say anything. You should continue with your passion to speak for the truth and to shame those who spread the lies. I don't see any other solution. Do you?
No. So Tim Pool is the NPC, you know, and you're a real human being. So no one's ever heard of Tim Pool. You know, you're the legend that is Alex Jones, and you were fighting on the front line, and now we're here with you. You got some other superheroes, part of the Avenger movie, fighting for Christ.
All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot of news to cover today. We're not going to spend too much time. We're not going to spend too much time on Tim Pool, but I do want to spend a little bit of time. I was actually going to drop it because I don't really do drama that much anyway. But then I got in contact with some of Tim Pool's ex-employees who encouraged me. They were like, "No, please, for the love of God, nobody has done this yet. And he deserves it." So I feel a burden now for justice to talk about Tim Pool a little bit. I got to put another video in here. But I got a couple videos to show, specifically because he's lying, and I know he's lying, and I'm going to explain how he's lying. We may have to get to that in just a little bit. I may have to start off with some other stuff because there are some videos that didn't make it in that we're going to have to get to. But the thing is, I would like to see... I don't know if y'all have ever seen the charts of, like, the entangling alliances ahead of World War One. The reason that, you know, this little outbreak in Sarajevo became a world war, everybody's allies with everybody and enemies with everybody else. And I feel like we need one of those for the right wing. I feel like we need, it would be, like, their profile picture and then, like, red lines of people who they're enemies, green lines of who they're friends. Because it's all getting a little bit tangled. It's all getting a little complicated. Quite a tangled cobweb that we have going here. And some of the breakups, you know, you're my enemy now sort of transitions people are taking, they genuinely don't make any sense. Some of them make perfect sense. Some of them are perhaps long overdue. And at the end of this, I hope that this will be a filtering process, a cleaning out process, to where we can actually determine who's a patriot and who's a grifter. I'm frankly shocked at the number of people who get this wrong and who do apparently don't have the discernment to tell who is just telling the truth, especially when so much of the drama is just like, do you have the ability to determine temporal reality? Like, this happens first, then this happens, then the second thing can't have caused the first thing. It's that sort of stuff. Like, that's what's happening with Tim Pool. How Alex makes a video, he didn't attack Tim Pool, and he didn't even complain about being censored. He makes a video explaining that there's been an algorithm change, and Tim Pool takes this as a chance to attack Alex. And now he's running around going, "I think Alex is being paid. This doesn't make any sense." And it's like, "Oh, you attacked him, dumbass. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, though?" It's that type of stuff. And then in the comments underneath, it's like, "Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Alex." It's like, have you taken perhaps 4 or 5 seconds to watch any of the videos that Alex has made that explain this with absolute clarity? I don't get it. That type of stuff is just, it's madness, because it's like, what do you mean you don't know why Alex is attacking you? You attacked him. You don't need, like, so I guess in Tim's mind, he attacked Alex Jones, and it was at that point, it was as soon as, you know, he attacked Alex that I guess a Democrat of some sort went to Alex and was like, "I know you don't want to attack back, but we're going to give you money too." And that inspired, because this doesn't make any sense, folks. It's literally just a timeline that you have to be knowledgeable of. It's not that hard to find. But like I said, we'll get to Tim Pool in a minute. Because I've heard some things, folks. I can't even repeat most of what I've heard, but good Lord. I'll tell you. There's nothing like working at the Alex Jones Network. There's nothing like working at InfoWars. And that is only re-emphasized and re-established in my mind every time I talk to anybody that works at any other right-wing outlet. I don't know what's wrong with everybody else, but Alex doesn't make it seem that hard. Like, you treat your employees well. You run a good business. It's not that complicated. And then anybody I talk to in any other right-wing outlet, Tim Pool included, it's just like insane backstabbing, drama, betrayal, underhanded stuff, sexual assault allegations. I'm not saying that about Tim Pool. I did not hear that, just to be clear. But other places, you may have heard some things. And it's just every time I hear about what goes on in other right-wing networks, I'm just like, God, we have it so good here. We have it so good here that we just are actually. And the other thing is not only that, you know, our boss isn't a spiteful, vengeful little beanie wearing scumbag. That's very nice. But also, everybody here is working as hard as they can all of the time. That's really the most astonishing thing. Is you go to another right wing place and this actually is the best. I mean, you go to Tim Pool, you're hanging out for a couple hours before the show starts, and it's like, there's people doing some skateboarding, there's people playing some pinball, some people watching TV, and it's like, does anybody do work around here? What is everybody doing? What are you all doing here? And it's the same every other right-wing place I've gone. You go there, I'm expecting you to be like InfoWars. I'm expecting like you show up and it's like everybody's like headphones on, dialed in, pulling things up. There's like editors and writers and like that's what it's like here. You go to these other places and it's just like, you want to go like get some lunch first? Or like, we got time and we're not really doing anything. It's just like, do any of you understand what's happening here? Like, this is like a fight for our lives and we're like actually trying to save the country here. We're the only ones that seem to be taking this as seriously as it deserves. So just whether it's Tim Pool or The Blaze or anywhere else, these people just don't. They don't have the fire. They don't have it in them. And everything they say about us is pure projection because maybe they're jealous. I don't know. But maybe we'd be better served. I doubt it. But maybe if we cared more about money, if we were more hyper aware of the algorithm and the little changes in it and how we need to moderate our language and don't use that word, use this other word. Like, that's what these guys are like. Again, I've been to these shows. You go behind the scene and it's like a list. It's like, oh, we got our latest printout from our YouTube advocate and we can't say ivermectin and we can't say this and we can't say that. So don't say those things. I'm just like, I'll do it because I'm not about to get your channel canceled, but you're all slaves. You understand that, right? That's what's like at those other places. So God bless Alex Jones and the Alex Jones Network. And it's a beautiful freedom we have here. So please do support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the only way we make money. And everybody should realize that by now, if you have even a modicum of intelligence or discernment and can actually, you know, look at the behavior and actions of people and then determine what their motive might very well be. It's really not complicated. Also, I should mention, as I have many times before, our entire economic existence was poured through with a fine-tooth comb by Hillary Clinton's lawyers for several years. You think if they'd found anything, they would have maybe said something? So once again, we are being accused of taking money from people when we are not only just objectively uncontrolled. Like, you just cannot claim that we are taking orders from anybody ever. Yeah, it's like when quartering is like, who's controlling Alex Jones's Twitter? It's like, you mean the guy sitting alone in his car filming videos is being controlled somehow? Somebody else is doing that for him? What are you talking about? How could that even be? What are you talking about? So that type of stuff, it's just like, no, it should be obvious, you know, how legit and upfront and clear we are. If we're not, I guess we have to tell you. I guess we have to remind everybody that we are the most legit, the most straightforward, the most upfront, and translucent operation that there's ever been. And we're pretty clear about where we get our money. It's thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. You go there. You buy one of these great supplements that we have on offer. You buy the magnetic gun holder. You buy maybe the T3 trifecta iodine. We sell great products that we also take. That's why they're right here, because I take them before the show. And then we use that money to pump out the truth, no matter who likes it and who has anything to say about it, and even what our audience thinks. So it's just a bit rich. It's a bit rich being the most legitimate, the most upfront, the most straightforward, the most independent organization in American history. Certainly in the current American media landscape, there is nothing that even remotely approaches the level of openness that we operate on. And we're getting called grifters by a bunch of literal dictionary definition, their picture next to it, they're grifters. Pure and unadulterated grifters. So, with all of that to the side, I want to go now to clip 36. This is Brandon Straka of the Walk Away Movement, absolutely ending Dan Bongino's career. So while there may be divisions and, you know, separations happening and enemies being made and friendships being ended, at the end of the day, I think it's pretty clear for most of the division who's on the right side, who's on the side of truth and justice and righteousness and reality, and who's a big fat grifter fraud. Here's Brandon Straka laying it out for you perfectly clearly.
I'm making this video because today Dan Bongino unblocked me just long enough to drop into my comments and leave this message before blocking me again so that I couldn't respond. The message Dan left in my comments was, "Are you still mad I won't have you and your grift on my show? Put a diaper on and stop begging like a dog to come on. It's a no. No grifters on my show." So it's a really short message, but there's actually kind of a lot to unpack in just a couple of sentences. So I want to kind of go through it piece by piece to kind of break it down. So the first thing I want to address is that I haven't asked Dan Bongino to go on his show in years. The last time I think I reached out to him was probably in 2022. And I reached out probably somewhere between 8 to 10 times between 2021 and 2022. Telling him that I was going through absolute hell with January 6th between being criminally charged, civilly sued, and deposed and subpoenaed by the January 6th committee and investigated, that I had three different forms of lawfare coming down on me, and that I desperately needed help getting my story out because I was being crushed. Now, to be clear, Dan was responding. If he wasn't responding at all, I would have just assumed he didn't get my messages, you know, and it was whatever. But he was responding. And he was giving me these really short, flippant responses like, "If I can find time in the show, I'll have you on," which I thought was weird because he does a daily podcast for hours. And he was going on his show every day using January 6th as a talking point, talking about the weaponization from the Biden administration against all these J6 people. And I thought, well, here I am, a person with inside information about what's actually going on, the people involved, the players, and the tactics that they're using to destroy people's lives. Rather than speculate about it, have somebody on who can actually tell you exactly what's going on. He wasn't interested. And never in the course of those 2 years that I reached out again and again and again did he ever become interested in actually hearing a firsthand account from somebody who was going through January 6th. Now, Dan made a ton of money talking about weaponization on his podcast, selling books. He even made a movie called Police State that was all about the weaponization of the government. But never once did he actually express any interest in talking to an actual J6er about what was happening to the J6ers. So I want to start by addressing the first thing he asked, "Are you still mad that I wouldn't have you on my show?" No, Dan, I'm not mad. I was never mad. Mad is not a word that I would use to describe my feelings towards you. My feelings towards you would be described using words like deceived, duped, betrayed, appalled, maybe even sickened or revolted, and definitely disillusioned, but not mad. I was never mad. The next thing you referenced, Dan, is me and my grift. And I'm not really clear what grift you're referring to. Is it the walkaway campaign, Dan? Is it that I've spent 8.5 years dedicating my life to trying to get as many people to open their minds and leave the Democratic Party as possible? Is it that I have traveled the country going into colleges, minority hot zones where I've been chased, attacked, beaten, spit on, that I literally have the full weight of the entire government come down on me and put me in jail and try to destroy my life because of the success that I have had getting thousands and thousands and thousands of people to leave the Democratic Party and come over and support our party and support President Trump, help get President Trump reelected so that people like you could become the deputy director of the FBI. Is that the grift that you're referring to, Dan? Is it the fact that I did this work for over 3 years and didn't pay myself a single dollar from my organization, and I only started paying myself after I got arrested and charged and started going through three forms of lawfare simultaneously at the same time before I started paying myself a single dime as I was going through this? Is that the grift that you're referring to, Dan? Or is it my advocacy for J6? Is that the grift that you're talking about, Dan? Is it the fact that I even had half of the conservative media slam their doors in my face as I was trying to get the stories out about what the J6ers were going through? And you are one of the people who slammed your door in my face. And I have to watch every day as you assail people like Tucker Carlson or Marjorie Taylor Greene, who actually did something when people needed help, who actually stood up. Tucker Carlson, no matter what you might think of anything else he has to say, was the person who was single-handedly most responsible for helping change the narrative of January 6th by exposing what actually happened. You had no interest in talking to anybody. And then you told me to put a diaper on, Dan. Is that because you think the J6ers are babies? Is that what you think of the people whose lives were crushed and destroyed for years for showing up on January 6th to defend President Trump and the American voter? Do you think the seven people who have committed suicide so far are babies, one of them who just committed suicide this year, because this still goes on? Do you even know, Dan, that there are J6ers who are living in their cars because they lost their homes, their life savings, they lost everything? Do you know there are J6ers who lost their spouses and lost custody of their children? Do you even know that? Do you care? Do you have any clue how the agency that you were tasked to be the deputy director of was weaponized to destroy people and harm people to the point that people could not take it anymore? But you just want these people to put on a diaper because they're a bunch of babies, right? The J6ers are just a bunch of babies. Well, they're not babies, Dan. A lot of these are really, really good people who lost everything for standing up for President Trump and the American voter. And you know what they've gotten in return? An FBI agency that promoted the architects of January 6th. You and your partner didn't have a single conversation with any person who's gone through January 6th. You've conducted no investigations whatsoever. You have no idea who did what to whom because you never had any interest. In fact, if you had talked to me, Dan, at any point, even on the phone, privately, I could have told you about Agent Jeremy DeSore, the agent in my case who completely manufactured evidence, who made things up to charge me with things I didn't do, who it took you guys an entire year to figure out was connected to Arctic Frost, the weaponization against President Trump, before you finally got rid of Agent Jeremy DeSore. But what about all the other agents who are still in the FBI? Because you guys never conducted an investigation, you never talked to anybody about what they went through, and all of those people who did all of this harm to all of these people are still there. And then you told me to stop begging like a dog to come on your show. Dan, I haven't reached out to you in over 4 years, and I'm not a dog. I'm just a really good person who is a hardworking conservative and has been a loyal soldier to Donald Trump for many, many years to fight for the conservative movement and to get Donald Trump reelected. And when I desperately, desperately needed your help, you closed your door in my face. And when you had the power to actually affect change and do something about it, you did nothing. I'll completely disregard the final statement that you made that you don't allow grifters on your show because I think anyone's head could explode from the irony of that statement. But let me just tell you this.
A brutal destruction from Brandon Straka against Dan Bongino. I'll tell you, getting to know Brandon over the last couple months doing his debates and stuff, he's the real deal. And you can just tell. And honestly, when you meet people in real life, some people, they just come across as genuine and truthful and struggling with some of the controversy. Other people seem arrogant and above it all. And that maybe that's the divide at the end of it. Who is just a regular human?
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Tells me what to say.
He was a boy, she was a girl. Can I make it any more obvious?
I'm telling you, this is how you get civil war.
Well done, Timothy. Now, Candace. Say she's completely lost the plot.
Candace has completely lost the plot.
Now Alex Jones. Say he's doing more damage to the right than the left ever could.
Alex Jones is doing more damage to the right than the left ever could.
Okay, Timmy, anti-Israel rhetoric. Ask who benefits, then say Iran does.
At a certain point, you have to ask who benefits for all this anti-Israel predicament, because Iran certainly does.
Timothy, this next one is very important. Say I'm gay.
What?
Go on, Tim. Do it.
Tell everyone you're gay.
I'm gay.
Ha
It's a real. That was a real video. That was a real video we just saw. Who made that? Hold on. I think it was Forbidden Information, right? I got to give credit to whoever made that, because that was hilarious. That was cracking me up. There's so much news to get to. I really don't even want to talk about Temple that much. I have one clip to play. At We Are Forbidden. That's the people who just made that AI video. Very funny stuff. At We Are Forbidden. So, I mean, this whole thing is just a little bit absurd. I mean, the question is, like, what are people looking for in a media personality? Tim Pool will not break any rules. He loves rules. He loves, you know, knowing what he needs to do to do well in the algorithm. He claims to have been the champion that exposed all of the stuff, like the election and COVID, which is interesting because you weren't actually allowed to talk about any of those things on YouTube, and that's Tim's entire platform is YouTube. So with Tim, you've got somebody who has ridden the wave of basically the corporate monstrosity for his entire career, and he's been very successful at it. Nobody's doubting that. He's definitely the biggest name in the controlled zone, you could say. It's also, well, we can get into some other people in this mix as well. But never actually doing anything to challenge the actual narrative. He absolutely did promote the Iran war this entire time. Now he says he doesn't, but he also does this thing where he puts the opposite of what he said. Like, he puts a title that's like yesterday. Crew, if you can pull up the tweet he put out where he's like, this is a chess move. Like, he's literally doing the, like, Donald Trump is playing 4D chess. All of these moves are about energy domination. And the obvious implication from the title is Trump's a genius and the Iran war is going well. And I never watched the video, but Tim Pool then retweets that being like, I'm against the Iran war, see? And it's this tweet that is clearly phrasing and framing the Iran war as if it is a brilliant chess move that is, you know, checkmating our enemies through economic and energy warfare, essentially. So it's like, okay, you came out of the video like yesterday talking about how this is all brilliant. Everything that Trump is doing points to one thing: America becoming the largest distributor of oil and energy. Iran, Strait of Hormuz, Gulf of America, Venezuela, Cuba. These are all chess pieces. I don't know. It doesn't sound like he's anti this stuff. Is it a bad thing that America would be the largest distributor of oil and energy? Are you against that? That sounds like a good thing. It sounds like what you're saying is all of these moves are brilliant chess moves that have a positive goal in the end. So this, and simultaneously, he's tweeting that out as proof that he's against the Iran war, which he has been in favor of the entire time, as you've seen in the videos. So it's weird that we even have to talk about this, because everything we say about him is true and provable and obvious and right out there in the open. Everything he says about us is not just baseless speculation asserted with the confidence of truth, but assertion. It's what's worse than baseless, you know, like fabricated, but like unnecessary, you know, like if I see you, you know, pick up a donut and eat it, and I'm like, why did you eat that? It's like, because I'm hungry. It's like, you don't need a reason, right? It's like, I don't need to, like, start now speculating. Like, now, why would he do that? What could explain this? It's like, there's no explanation necessary, actually. That's a normal thing to do. you don't need to speculate, actually. So it's baseless speculation about something that doesn't require speculation at all, because it's obvious what the truth is. But now I think he's straight up lying. And if he's not, we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a bit of a problem. And again, I got more news than I'll ever be able to get to, but everybody's talking about this. Everybody's talking. I watch a bunch of, like, drama YouTubes. I'm subscribed to them, and my feed today was all Tim Pool versus Alex Jones. So this is from Too Lazy to Try. Too Lazy to Try had this video, but I hadn't seen this clip from Tim, and I wanted to address it. So let's go ahead and go to clip 38 here, and we'll move on from Tim after this. But just to settle, you know, set the record straight, let's go to Tim Pool here as he just lies, I think. And if he's not lying, like I said, we're going to have a problem. I think you'll see what I mean. Let's go to clip 38.
It's just like, okay.
That makes zero sense.
What just happened?
It's irrational.
Yeah, it's like, Alex Jones was my friend. He literally would just text me stuff. We would talk. We had a conversation once about what private jets to buy. Just like, that's what rich people talk about. He was like, Tim, I'm telling you, you get a good jet for about $1 million. You know? And I was like, Alex, I'm not buying a private jet. And now all of a sudden he's just like, Tim Pool is secretly meeting with Netanyahu and works for him. And I'm just like, out of nowhere.
Well, let's pause it. Can we pause it? He absolutely went to a secret meeting with Netanyahu. Israel absolutely is spending hundreds of millions of dollars trying to shape the consciousness of America through alternative media. This is well publicized. Netanyahu talks about it as the Eighth Front War. And this meeting that Tim Pool attended was in direct attribution to that. Like, that's what he was doing here. It's not like Tim went to talk to Netanyahu about where to get coffee in Jerusalem. He didn't go to talk to Netanyahu and voice his concerns about the way Israel was treating the Palestinians. He's not brave enough to do that. Are you kidding me? He went there to be instructed. He went there to learn how the role that he could play in exchange for money. Netanyahu pushes back on anti-Israel trends in meeting with podcasters. Israel Prime Minister largely avoided questions about Iran's nuclear program, viewing it as a sensitive subject. But he went there and had a meeting, people like Tim Pool, in order to push an Israeli agenda. So, this is what I'm talking about. They're like, why would he attack? Because you attacked him first, you idiot. And he'd make up these crazy lies about me, like I attended a secret meeting with Netanyahu. Okay, so I attended a meeting with Netanyahu, and it's secret. But, I mean, it's still a lie somehow, I think. I'm pretty sure. Doesn't make any sense. So, okay, just to be clear, when he says Alex is lying about him meeting with Netanyahu, he met with Netanyahu. The contents of the meeting were secret. It was in direct relation to Benjamin Netanyahu's Eighth Front War on the American Mind, as he attempted to and successfully co-opted popular podcasters on the right to push the Israel First agenda, something Tim Pool obviously did the whole time. This isn't against the law, so why are many people denying it ever occurred? It's a good question. Very good question. Well, I think Tim Pool's denying that it was secret, but it was secret. And it's the Chatham House rules. Those are secrecy rules. And you just have to ask, like, do you think I would attend a meeting like that? I mean, honestly, if I wasn't worried about, like, exposing other people's secrets, I'd show you my DMs. I get so many offers for stuff, I just leave them on read. I never even start to consider, which is the beauty of working at the Alex Jones Network. It's like, for all these other people, I kind of feel sorry for them. I mean, they're constantly having to, like, try to look for where their next big paycheck is coming from. You know, who do they need to be the mouthpiece for? Who do they need to promote, even though they don't actually know if they're good or not? I just get to promote thealexjonesstore.com. It's very easy. It's very simple. And I don't need to be a part of anything else. I don't need it. I'll do it if I want to, but I don't get paid for any of that stuff. Doing the debates and speaking role, I've never been paid for any of that. But I'll do it if I like. Let's go back to Tim Pool. Sorry. He's about to get to the lie. Maybe. We'll see.
I had people texting me, you know, and they're like, what is happening? What happened? Like, what did you do? And I was like,
what did you do?
I tweeted that if you build up a channel for 10 years supporting Trump, but then stop supporting him, you're going to lose viewers. And everyone's like, yeah, that's not a reason for him to make up.
Yeah, but that was a lie.
It's like, you know what I will say is, obviously, we know a lot of people who work at his company.
Really?
And there's a lot of fervor right now over what he's doing.
Is there?
And there's a lot of, we'll see what happens.
Will we?
But I do think that for most people, money talks and BS walks.
Oh, money talks and BS walks.
I'd be surprised if there are people who just duck and keep their heads down
and
sacrifice their morals for the paycheck.
There's a lot of money sloshing around right now.
Yeah.
Wait, what? There's what?
Saying, do you expect anybody who works with Alex to stop working with him because they think he's a bad guy?
No.
How much you want to bet none of them will? They'll just say, leave me out of it.
Yeah.
I mean,
just fair to some degree. I mean,
yeah, right, let's pull it down. Couple things. First of all, don't you love in the middle of the video where they're talking about Alex Jones must be paid? People just do this for money. That you've got the guy going, well, money's sloshing everywhere right now. Really? I didn't know that. I don't, Crew, do you guys know there's money sloshing around everywhere? It's those types of, everybody here is working for Qatar, obviously. Money just sloshing around all over. Everybody's getting paid to say so. Like, it's that, you kind of just gave yourself away a little bit right there. There could very well be a lot of money sloshing around in the right-wing ecosystem right now. There could be a lot of money getting a lot of people to say a lot of things they wouldn't say if they weren't paid for it. That could be. That could very well be. I don't know, because I'm not in those discussions, because we don't take money, because that's just not what we do. So I think, first of all, that little line, I think, may be more important than they realized at first. Yeah, money sloshing all over the place right now. Really? Into your coffers, I wonder? I mean, you seem pretty interested in it. And by the way, just after this clip, Tim Pool gets into like, oh, well, we make a lot of money. I mean, sure, we make a ton of money, and that's no issue at all. Oh, yeah, here we go. It's coming. Hold on. Oh, they missed it. We missed it. You got to throw it at me again. Sorry, guys. This is, yes. It's all flying around. Money everywhere. Look at all these dollars I got from somebody, right? They must have come from somewhere. Precious money. This is my Tim Pool impression. I think Alex is, I think he's compromised. I think we all know that there's like a ton of money sloshing around right now. I think Alex might be taking some of it. I think he might actually be, being paid for some of his opinions. Because we all know how much money is flying around right now, but we would never, I would never, ever take any of it. Certainly not. No. Also, you're going to lose your audience for turning on Trump, but also I turned on Trump because I'm against the Iran war. But you're bad for being against the Iran war because you're anti-Trump, and that's why your audience left. Even though your audience never left, it was just a algorithm mess up there. You're the bad one. You're the bad one for turning against Trump because you didn't want the Iran war, which I am now against, but I'm still for Trump. And I don't regret promoting the Iran war. I just understand now that you all were right about it. Sorry. Back to the very real news, the impact I'm making here, me, Tim Pool. The very out there, controversial stances I often take when the offer is enough. I don't think y'all understand. Y'all want to know how much money I have? Ask my wife. I have no idea. I have no idea how much money. I literally none. Do I have $10,000 in the bank? I hope. I sure hope I do. No idea. I do not get we don't care about money. That's not why we do this. That's not what we're about. It's very offensive being told that we are grifters by the greediest, most mercenary people in the entire sector. But we give you products. You buy the products. We give you the show. Pretty simple. Pretty simple stuff. Who's giving Tim Pool money? And I keep having this conversation with people because people keep accusing us of doing things for money. I do the same thing with Captive Dreamer. Captive Dreamer always shows up in my notifications, and I love it. It's my favorite face to see in the notification because he's always trying to get me on something. He's always trying to pull one over, prove I'm lying or something. And it's always easily provably wrong. So it's great. It's every time I see Captain Dreamer, it's somebody's here, have a W, have a ratio, destroy this man. here's another easily disprovable lie for you to shatter. It's great. I love it. And the last thing he was saying something about, I must be paid by somebody. I don't remember who he was saying. And it just struck me. I'm like, how do you get your money? I get my money from the Alex Jones Network. They send me a paycheck every week. It's always the same, no matter what I say or how many views we get. Doesn't matter. I always strive, to do the best regardless, because I don't need to be motivated by such low down mercenary reasons. I actually believe in what we're doing. But it just occurs to me. I'm like, how do these people make their money? They don't have stores. They don't sell products. Who is giving them money? I mean, I guess it's Super Chats. It's all built off Super Chats. Well, wait, what was that? What was that image? Why did that flash on the screen? That was very offensive. But that last part, who's talking to him? I'm not talking to him. I'm talking to his ex-employees, and boy, do they have a lot to say. Good Lord. The dude apparently loves firing pregnant mothers. Crazy. I assume. He must get some sort of kick out of it. I'm not talking to Tim Pool. Let's see, I'm like the only like public face of the operation. Who's else? Matt, is he talking to you? Sean, he's talking to you? I don't know if the microphone can be made live, but I think maybe we need a little investigation here. Is somebody at the Alex Jones Network selling information to our enemy and rival, Tim Pool? Because if so, we got to get to the bottom of it. That's why I was saying, I think he's lying, and I know he's lying, but what if he's not? What if there's a mole in the Alex Jones Network? I know what you're thinking. Harrison, it was just exposed that you had multiple moles.
This is the voice of God.
Are you live?
Yes. Oh, I'm live.
Finally. All it took was a knockdown, dragout fight for Tim Pool to get this microphone live. Thank goodness. Was it you, Matt? Are you talking to Tim Pool?
Yes.
Oh, all right. You're the one person I didn't suspect because you're the one who's always trying to get me to go after Tim Pool. Are you playing a double game?
Well, he's giving me hair tips.
That actually kind of makes sense, actually, now that I think about it.
I recently found out he's gay, so.
Well, we all did. That was Benjamin Netanyahu's little
trick. We're talking now.
So I just love it. Tim Pool, what do you think about that, Matt? Tim Pool, like, hey, we know people over there, and maybe they'll keep their mouth quiet so they can sacrifice their morals for a paycheck. Are you doing the immoral thing by staying silent in the face of the abuse of Alex Jones? I mean, what's going on here?
No, it's a pretty chill work environment.
It's pretty chill.
Pretty chill.
We work hard. We work very hard. Matt works just about harder than anybody. I'll give him credit for that. Y'all ever hung out at any behind the scenes in any right wing places? It would shock you. It would shock you how little work ever gets done at those places. Compared to Matt, Matt's getting bitten by poisonous spiders climbing in the roof trying to rewire things to keep this operation going. All right. Now we're going to move on. I think I'm done here. Anything else you want to say about Tim Pool? Dim Fool, as some people call him?
He stepped in some crap, and he's trying to wash off his shoe, but it stinks, dude.
It's not working. Here, you know what? I don't want to just cause problems. Here's the solution. Here's the obvious. Here's how this all ends. Tim Pool needs to apologize. He needs to be humble, and he needs to say, Alex, when I saw your video complaining about the change in the algorithm, I misread it, dude. I'm sorry. I thought you were complaining about the drop in viewership, so I made that comment. Obviously, I misinterpreted it, and this whole thing has spiraled out of control. This is totally unnecessary, and it all started with me, Tim Pool, and my stupid, dumbass mistake of being wrong. So I was wrong. You were right. I'm sorry for trying to discredit you. I'm sorry for claiming that you're paid for things when you're obviously not. I think that would solve it. I think that would solve the problem.
Also, that's the reality. Not gonna lie. Okay, like, yeah, everybody plays the fool, right? There's a song about that. Mm-hmm. But Tim, to go on his stupid webcast and, like, ask his co-hosts, which are his subordinates, you know what I mean? And then they're just, like, agreeable with him. Like, they don't want none. Harrison, you don't know what happens. You know what happens when you disagree with Tim.
I do. Even if you mildly disagree with Tim Pool.
If you tell him that in a magical place.
His beanie pops.
Yeah, ain't nobody wanting none of that. No, they didn't want to argue with Tim, right? Oh, yeah, money slosh around everywhere, dude.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's, like, tons of money flying all around the right wing right now. Really? Is that right? Is that where? Where's the money coming from? Where's it going? How do you know? Who are you talking to? Is it you? I'd never say that because I don't know what the hell that even means. Everywhere. It does seem like, I don't know, on one hand, God forbid, literally it just sounds miserable trying to go out and get sponsors and like get super chats. That sounds miserable. On the other hand, I have money sloshing around. If they're just, you know, I mean, Tim, you got paid like $100,000 an episode from some, you know, covert Russian operation. That was investigated by the DOJ. Of course, Tim didn't know about it. He wasn't criminally culpable. And I think the Biden DOJ coming out with that information in such a dishonest way was a a real disservice to Tim, and totally not a good thing to do. But see, I'm like a principled person that is going to say that regardless of who it affects. But we've never been in one of those scandals. In fact, we've been spied on by the FBI since 2013. They had monthly meetings checking in to make sure that they were still getting information and that the warrant to spy on us was still valid. Every month since 2013, there have been meetings in the FBI office every single month about InfoWars and Alex Jones and our organization, and they never found anything. We had infiltrators, multiple, in our office, exposed now, giving interviews with the SPLC, giving over a year's worth of security footage. Nothing. Nothing proven anything. So it's like I said, we're going to move on. I'm done talking about this. And I wish we didn't have to, because how it should work, theoretically and ideally, would be when somebody like Tim goes after somebody like Alex Jones. Is this from the Tim Pool, that there is a Qatari op to manipulate social media algorithms to make anti-Semitic and anti-Israel episodes appear to receive far more views than, say, tips for picking up women, in order to incentivize podcasters and YouTubers to produce more anti-Semitic content? Poole expressed concerns about increased anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism in the pro-Trump podcasting space, according to sources in the room. Poole famously had Kanye West on his podcast, and the rapper walked out mid-interview after Poole pushed back against anti-Semitic comments. Responding to Poole, Netanyahu said that that is the reason he invited the group to meet with him. Amazing. Yeah, but he would never. And I'll say, so, you know, there's a lot of speculation about why Tim Poole blew up at me. I'll tell you something from behind the scenes that I think I've mentioned before, but like, the call is absolutely real and it gets made about me. Like, I go places and do, you know, I'll be, you know, get an interview or do a show, and the host will be like, dude, ever since I said you were coming on, my phone has been blowing up. Like, people, they keep telling me not to have you on. I know that happens for sure. Firsthand experience. So I have the feeling that when I went on Tim Pool, Tim got the call. He literally got the call that was like, you can't have Harrison, but it was too late to cancel me. And so he just decided to be a jerk to me instead, to try to like pull one over on me. Unfortunately for him, everybody in his entire audience was on my side and thought he was acting like a jerk. But that's my supposition, because Tim Pool absolutely gets the call. You can't have him. You can't talk to him. If you're going to have him on, you really have to push back. You can't just give him a platform. That's my supposition. That's what I think happened. Otherwise, there's no explanation. That is actually one that requires a guess, requires speculation. Yeah, he says, I'll tell you what they did, disgusting. Tell them, Tim. I give you permission. Tell them everything. Tell them everything. Show them everything you have on me right now.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog, where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something, what a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited
gonna be like that.
Well, I'm like that normally. So.
Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, folks, we're moving on. We're moving on because we have so much, so very much to talk about. We're going to get into, well, we're going to get into what's happening with Carmelo Anthony. There's a new, some pretty stunning information out about that trial, as well as some developments in the Iran war, of course. But one of the craziest things, and I guess it's in line with everything else that we're seeing, and I guess this is sort of a corollary or not all that different than what's going on with the Carmelo Anthony trial, is the Lindsay Clancy trial, or whatever her name is. This woman who was on a insane assortment of psychotropic drugs and killed her three children by strangling them to death before jumping out of the window in a supposed suicide attempt. The facts of this case have never been in dispute. While she's pleading not guilty by reason of insanity, she admits to having to have committed the crime. She admits that she did, and it's never been a question. So why is it that she has thousands of adoring, screaming fans outside of her courthouse? I know we've experienced some insanity. I know it's been going on since I was at least 2 years old with the OJ trial. And I'm sure it was, you know, just as frustrating back then watching this trial unfold with such a clear, truthful, you know, what the outcome actually was. And then to, you know, watch him get away with it and watch people celebrate despite knowing that he did it. And even the jury in the OJ trial admitted that he probably did it. But everybody celebrates him getting out. So this is a long sort of, I guess, characteristic of American society at this point. And it's troubling, and it's extremely troubling. And it feels like maybe it was back then that we should have tried to figure out a way to deal with this, because you cannot have an open society. You can't have jury trials. You can't have what we have here in America with a bunch of people who see a murder case as a chance for racial revenge, or who interpret a murder case through the lens of TikTok SRI madness. We'll show you some videos of this as well. I mean, just the sheer crowds. Like, let's go to clip 30 here. This is the crowd outside the courthouse for Lindsay Clancy, the death of her three children. This is what it looks like. We've got mothers holding babies and a bunch of women dressed in pink holding up hearts into the air, showing their love for a woman who brutally murdered her three children. And there are like hundreds of these women dressed in pink, expressing their love and literally cheering for a woman who just murdered her three children. There's no speculation about that. There's no question as to whether she did it. She absolutely did it. And these women are supportive of her. So this was already troubling when it was just people on TikTok sort of just loving the attention, and it's women, you know, moms in like revealing red dresses being like, I was having a breakdown today. And it's her just like pretending to cry in the toilet. It's just the most performative sort of disgusting thing ever. But at least it's sort of less, I don't know, to me it's less of a thing when it's just like on TikTok and they're just obviously getting attention to themselves and trying to, you know, gain off of this trend right now. But to go there in person and support this, Lindsay Clancy's Pink Lady supporters rally outside court as heartbreaking triple murder trial captivates nation. Women are being dismissed. Yeah, we're going to get into this. What the hell that even means. Women are being dismissed. She murdered her children. We'll get into it. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Big Lee has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
All right, welcome back, folks. Hundreds of female Lindsey Clancy supporters crash murder trial, some carrying babies. Support goes wild for postpartum killer mom and turns very dark when it comes to her husband, Patrick. A roar of cheers and claps erupted from the sea of pink supporters as Sheriff's Department van carrying Lindsey Clancy rolled past. Around 400 women in shades of blush, salmon, coral, and hot pink had gathered in solidarity with the 36-year-old defendant sitting in a wheelchair behind its blacked-out windows in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Some had driven overnight from New York City with their young children. Others traveled 7 hours from Maine to attend what is being dubbed America's Saddest Murder Trial. How do you explain that to your kid? If you're going there with your toddler, it's like, we got to go. We got to support this. Well, what happened, Mom? Well, there was a mommy that strangled her little children, and they want to punish her for it. And we know that that's wrong. What? Mommy? Genuinely, I have no psychological box to put this in. There's no reason to it. Yeah, here's the real question. Who's worse? Woman who said the N-word or a woman who killed her three children? Which is worse? One of them was protecting her child when she was goaded into saying a racial slur. The other woman cold-bloodedly strangled all three of her children with exercise cords. Which is worse? I don't know what sort of – I'm picturing like one of the scenes from like The Simpsons or something where you got like a bunch of people on like a assembly line. Like I feel like you could have an assembly line and everybody in America has to get on like a moving walkway. And when you get to the front of it, big screen flashes and it says, which is worse? And if you say it's worse to say the N-word than it is to kill your children, you should be dumped into a furnace. Okay? And I think that would clear up a lot of problems. I think we'd have a lot of – you know, less problems around if people like this, whatever that means, whatever is driving these people. I mean, to me, this, you know, do I need to explain? Maybe I do. Explain why killing your children is bad. That's sort of where we're at this point. I don't know what these women, what are they missing? Are they all on SSRIs? I'd love to know how many of these women are heavily medicated. And I've talked about it before in my personal life. If we weren't dealing with all of the other existential crises, all aggravated and made worse by this one, I mean, this one would be like one of my primary concerns. The mental health of women in this country is insane. No pun intended. It's abysmal. Right. I've talked about it before. It was like totally shocking to me. I was at a wedding and the girls there that are in the were in the bridal party, they're talking about the bridal shower, the you know, trip they took. And they're telling this story where they're like, this one girl's like, yeah, I realized that I had forgotten my lorazepam or whatever it's called. What's a really popular one that starts with an L? Lexapro. She's like, I forgot my Lexapro. And I was like, oh no, I don't have my Lexapro. And then this one girl was like, oh, I have 5 milligrams. This other girl was like, oh, I have 10 milligrams. So I was able to like get my, and it's like, hold on. So this is a car full of, by the way, extremely attractive, extremely successful, professional women all around the age of 30, and all of them are on Lexapro. All of them. I know this is just sort of an anecdotal sample. Is anybody keeping track of this stuff? Anybody want to maybe sound the alarm at some point? Anybody want to recognize that it is not normal to have a huge population of your, a huge portion of your population every day on psychotropic drugs that they have to be on for life because it rewires their brain and messes with their hormones? Anybody else want to sound the alarm about what this is doing to not just the individuals that are being prescribed, but the society at large that is now being subtly but permanently shifted away from reality? Zoloft eyes is an informal term. It describes physical changes to the eyes caused by serotonin. Zoloft, an antidepressant medication. These changes happen because the drug alters serotonin levels in the body. So the other question is, like, how much stuff is downstream from this? Because you remember, like all of this is so intimately tied up together. The amount of antidepressants that are used in the UK and that are flushed out through the wastewater. Now, the UK has a much, much, much lower instance of these types of things being prescribed. But still, even in that low dose compared to America, so much of this material was going out in the wastewater that in the ocean, fish that were swimming around the wastewater were committing suicide. How does a fish commit – their shrimp, actually. How did the shrimp commit suicide? It deadens the brain's ability to determine threats. So they would swim right up to predator fish and sharks and be eaten. Because they no longer had the ability to recognize a threat. Prozac in waterways is changing how fish behave. Australian study of guppies shows that pharmaceutical pollution could threaten the species' long-term survival. And there's a distinct connection between the ability to recognize threats and like conservative values. And it's one of the things when they bring up the article about turning off parts of your brain. Scientists disable parts of the brain with magnets and it makes you more open to immigration and believe in God less. Guys, you can find that article. I mean, that was like 15 years ago. This is the fish. Critical psychoactive therapeutic agents such as aforementioned antidepressants or antipsychotics are of special interest to ecologists and freshwater scientists. This is because psychiatric medications, in addition to being among the most prescribed drugs on the continent, are also some of the most commonly detected in water, wastewater. Yeah, and it turns off a fish's ability to determine what is a threat or not. Which, again, when you say it's making fish commit suicide, it's kind of like saying it's turning the frogs gay. What we're actually describing is a physical transformation from a functional way of living to a non-functional way of living. These are not conscious beings. Animals are not choosing to commit suicide like a human commits suicide. They're not choosing to be gay like a person might choose to indulge in their drives. This is the chemicals that we prescribe ourselves and take on purpose getting into the bodies of fish and frogs and it breaking them, destroying their natural function and making it to where they can no longer have children or just outright they die, okay? So I wonder how much of that is going on. I'm going to watch this video because I want to see what they say. Let's hear them out. You know what? Maybe I'm being too hasty. You know, maybe there was a good reason to kill the kids. Maybe they were annoying. We don't know. So maybe I need to hear from these lovely women, these thoughtful, empathetic women who are there supporting a child serial killer. Maybe I need to hear them out. Maybe I've been too hasty. Maybe they've got some good points, and maybe I'll be swayed. Maybe. Let's watch.
I liked the system failed her. She was begging for help, but no one was there.
Well, let's pause it right there. Well, hold on. Well, hold on there. Let's just stop right there. She had multiple doctors. She was, but what more could you have given her? What more could you have possibly provided for this woman? She had a husband that loved her and was taking care of her. She had great kids. She had a perfect life. And I get it that, you know, you can have mental illness. It doesn't matter how nice your life is. But if they're saying the system failed her, well, what part failed her? Where did it fail? She needed mental health help. She got mental health help. They put her on drugs. The problem is not that the system failed her. It's that the system is retarded. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. Take women with genuine issues and slap a Band-Aid on it in the name of SSRI. Send her off as a dead-eyed zombie.
Does the system have to tell you to breathe in and out? Does the system have to do everything for you? That's the thing. Everybody is all up on the system. Like the system's
your mama.
Yeah. No way, dude.
You know, there's one time I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know, everybody treats the system like their daddy, exactly like you just said, like they're supposed to provide for me and they're supposed to give me everything and tell me what to do. And it's like the system's not your daddy. In a perfect setup, the government should be there when you need it. You know, if you're having trouble, you know, it should be like an older brother, like a big bro. Oh, crap. Big brother. Right. Darn it. And actually, that's when it hit me. I was like, oh, that's why they call it Big Brother, because ideally, like theoretically, that actually is how the government should be like a big brother. You know, your big brother's not going to, you know, give you everything you need all the time. It's not his job. He's not your parent. But like, if you need a place to stay, he's there. If you need help doing something, you know, if you're out of luck, you know, he can help you. He'll always have your back. That really is how like the government should be. But yeah, people want it to be their mama. Maybe that's not the right thing to say. I don't know. Do people want the system to strangle them to death? Maybe they don't want the system to be their mother. Sorry, so let's go back. So, all right, we've heard the first objection is that the system failed her. The system, like, she was a part of. Wasn't she a nurse, I'm pretty sure? So, like, what are you talking about? What should the system? If anything, it's the system that did this to her. Actually, I think if you go back in time and she starts experiencing postpartum depression, I think the last thing you should do is hand her over to the system. Maybe if you'd gone back in time, not put her on a cocktail of psychotropic drugs, not prescribed her all of these various brain-altering chemicals, maybe she wouldn't have killed her children. Doctors say such patients can become emotionally numb. I mean, I've been reading accounts from people talking about going on SSRIs and like genuinely feeling like they've been disconnected from their own souls. It's actually kind of terrifying.
Her prescription list was like a rap song. Like, seriously.
Her prescription list was, it was like a Mos Def rap song. That's how many lyrics were in it. Okay. This wasn't just any rap song. This is a Talib Kweli special. All right. It's a high level of vocabulary.
And like on top of that, yeah, she had like three providers, but one provider in specific, the Rebecca Gelada, like.
No, they clearly should have done more.
It's, you know, yeah.
I mean, clearly the system, where was the system when she needed them? I mean, sure, she saw a doctor and got a new prescription every 4 days on average, but that there should have been more, I guess. First objection is the system failed her, when in reality, the system is the problem here. The system actually did exactly what it was supposed to do, and now her three children are dead. So, wrong. Next guess. Let's go.
I liked the system failed her.
It failed her.
She was begging for help, but no one was there.
Begging for help.
I don't know if us being here will make her feel any better, but I mean, she's living in hell right now.
Just wanted to support Lindsay and just say it could be, you know, one of my sister-in-laws, it could be one of my best friends. And it
good
could
Lord.
Be
so could be me?
We are hearing her. We
okay.
see that.
Hold on. Hold on. We got to post again. It could be me? All right. I mean, at least that's a, like, okay. That actually makes a mod. That's the best reason I've heard so far. Because what that means is that woman is of the belief that Lindsay Clancy just had no control of her actions. If you truly believe that she was just a normal, loving mother that just because of circumstances outside of her control took her over like a demon and possessed her and killed her children, if that's your belief, I can at least understand now and empathize, even though I think it's retarded and don't agree with it, obviously, because I'm not a stupid SSRI woman. But I get it now. I think I'm starting to understand now. So they're under the impression that this was just an act of random happenstance and that it could happen like a lightning strike. Like if you saw somebody get struck by a lightning, you'd be like, there, but for the grace of God, go I. I mean, that's still crazy. I mean, that's an insane thing to think. And maybe they're reading her medication list and they're like, oh my God, she's just like me. This might happen to me. Get off those medications. Get off of them. It could be me. That's the craziest. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. Because, like, you know, it's not totally out of the ordinary. You've got fangirls of serial killers. Ted Bundy famously had, you know, a group of women that would go to his trial every day and try to get his attention. I mean, it's fairly well known. That I think that's more about the female psyche being subconsciously attracted to violence. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is something different. But I can't imagine, like, going to a – you never hear this with any other crime. That's, I guess, what I'm getting at. You never hear the women at a serial killer's trial being like, could be me that killed 16 women. I don't know. Could happen to anybody becoming a murderer. Yeah, it's related. I mean, it's somewhat related, but – all right, sorry. Let's go back. So she thinks it could happen to anybody killing all three of your children with elastic bands while your husband's not home. Because that's the other thing. The husband was home constantly with her because they felt like she was a danger. But then, like, the day that it happened, everything was going okay. The husband was like, I'm going to run out to the store. I'll be right back. Don't do it. Don't kill our kids, please. And he goes to the store. And so she, like, waits till that moment. Now there have been call records shared showing that she, like, called her husband at the grocery store. Like, she was doing this in an intelligent, thoughtful way. She did it to make sure that she wouldn't be caught. If you're in a psychosis, I'm not sure you're able to make those cogent decisions, those responsible decisions, right? It shows that she's responsible. She knew what she was doing because she took steps to hide what she was doing. I'm just picturing the woman on SSRIs watching this, and she's just like, hearing a buzzing noise while I'm talking. I don't know how to explain it to you, ma'am. You got to get off the medications because everything's going to be hard to get through this fog of medication that you're operating under. Let's continue.
You know, one of my sister-in-laws, it could be one of my best friends, and it could be me.
Could it? So just here, you crazy bitch.
We are hearing her. We see that she tried everything. And I really do believe that she went into a state of psychosis.
Clancy's supporters call her attorney Kevin Reddington a champion of women's rights.
Women's rights. It's your right to kill your children.
What think of this support?
I'm going to go in and see her right now. I'm sure that she is, and if she isn't, she will be.
What do you think about?
She's so beat up. And just so sad. This will really help her out, I think.
Awesome. Tell her we love her.
The crowd of about 200 to 300 people lined the road as Lindsay Clancy was brought into the courthouse.
I hope when this is all over that the medical field gets, you know, held responsible for some of this. Because she tried. She tried desperately to get help, and it wasn't there.
Very sad looking women here. Very sad looking women with their pets.
Hey, can I just give out? Hey, husbands out there, men out in the world, if there's a woman in your life that is not like this, tell her. Tell her, hey.
Hug her.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Straight up.
Exactly.
Tell them they are appreciated and that you just think that they're special and unique.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Buy her flowers on the way home if your wife is not a loon. If your wife's never been on TikTok, I mean, take her on vacation, boys. She deserves it. Because it's making women go crazy. They're actually going crazy. Now, there's like historical precedent to this. There's a story of ancient Greece, a girl killing herself and it inspiring all the other girls to kill themselves because of the attention that she got. Women are just extra vulnerable to sort of, you know, mental contagions, you might say. But like we've got this at alexjoneslive.com. Women are not okay. Young mothers film, quote, mom rage crash outs amid Lindsay Clancy trial. Video circulating on social media show the need for constant internet attention has turned millennial mothers into performative actresses, filming themselves having mental breakdowns for clout. In many of the videos, the women who recently had babies film themselves crying or flying into, quote, mom rage fits for having to raise their children. One meme depicted a young mother's carefully setting up her streaming setup to film herself crying on a couch. Other mothers film themselves crying while tending to their children. In other videos, mothers claiming to be suffering from postpartum rage film themselves violently flinging ice at their bathtubs, evidently tanking out their anger for having to deal with their babies. Another woman used her anger to destroy clothing. I think I actually have some insight into what's going on here. Women are crazy. My insight is women are... No, I'm kidding. I mean, not really, but that's not actually what my explanation is. Because these women, they like go in the bathroom. I don't know if we can find one of these clips where it's like, instead of having a screaming match with my toddler, I go in the bathroom and scream and throw ice. First of all, your kid is hearing that. And some of the videos, the kids are there and the mom is like crying and weeping and like, and the kid is crying. It's like, this is literally abuse. It's literally, this is mental abuse that you're putting children through. Okay. That's so sick that you would do that. But I think for some of these women, this is pure speculation, but when you've got a woman saying, instead of having a screaming match with my toddler, I'm going to go throw ice. What that means is they're afraid to discipline their children. Do you follow? They are afraid to yell at their children. They won't get mad at their children. They won't actually discipline their children. They just bottle it up. They just bottle up the frustration. The healthy thing to do when your kid is frustrating you to the point that you want to yell at your child because they shouldn't be doing whatever they're doing. That's actually okay. And again, this is just sort of supposition on my part, but I know women like this that are like, dying of like anxiety and stress because their kids act out, but they have this feeling of like, if I'm yelling at my kids, then I'm not a good mom. Yeah, there's the setup point of view. You come home and find wifey's filming one of her crying on the phone videos again. And action. Now it is a sick narcissistic feedback loop that women are falling into. And I think it does go completely back to the system as it works, the SSRIs. I mean, that would be something. If this case became a media spectacle and had supporters out there, and if the whole point was the medical industry over-medicates women and we have to stop the pill solution to fundamental deep-seated problems, then okay, I'd be for all of the attention. But these are all women on these same medicines, somehow thinking that she needed more medicine or something. Crazy. We're back on the other side. Stay with us.
Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone, raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks, and ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. People just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically, that Power Plant formula If you're looking for something like Supermeal Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle, along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. We've got the T3 Trifecta Iodine, an absolute staple of the old network. We've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow. Incredible antioxidant, Methylene Blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the Zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit Complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things, theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
Careful, ladies. You might accidentally break one of those sticks. Something has gone terribly wrong, everyone. I'm here to report. There's something broken. I mean, good Lord. Let it out, ladies. Oh, Lord Almighty. The thing is, it's like, okay, if they had this type of outrage and rage and fury and frustration, if this was pointed towards literally anything that mattered ever, I wouldn't have an issue. What are they screaming about? We can't kill our babies at 9 months in the womb? Is that what they're angry about? Are they angry they get preferential treatment in every family court proceeding? I mean, what are they angry about exactly? I know they're not angry that our government let in 10 million rapists to assault and destroy their lives. I know they're not mad at the war in Iran to this degree. They're not mad about anything that actually matters to anyone. So what the hell is going on? What's going on is that we live in a construct that Satan built and that doesn't work for normal human beings. And instead of recognizing that and making our situation better, we've been tricked by the medical establishment into thinking there's a pill for every problem. Instead of actually solving the issue of my life is incompatible with my nature, so maybe I should change my life. Gee, I sit all day every day under fluorescent lights for 8 hours for a boss who hates me, and for some reason I'm sad. I wonder what it could be. Yeah, I had to give my four-month-old over to a stranger that doesn't speak English so I could go back to slave in a cubicle for a corporation while my child is raised by a stranger. I mean, better take some pills. That's the solution, probably. You're crazy for not being happy under this circumstance. It's not that the circumstance is retarded and that you are correct to feel sad about the horror that your life has become, because that would require you questioning some of the propaganda you've indulged in your entire life about how this was the victory that women were fighting for so long. You'd feel like a traitor to all of those women you looked up to who put you in this position. Feel free to break out at any point. The door is unlocked. Feel free to walk out literally at any moment. Nobody is keeping you here. Nobody is keeping you enslaved and tied to your desk. Nobody is forcing you to put off being a mother until you're too old. Nobody's forced. Nobody's got a gun to your head, ladies. Go do what your instincts tell you. Follow them. They're correct. They don't need to be deadened with chemicals. I've seen it where, you know, a girl who is with a guy she thinks she's going to get married to, they're together for their entire youth, they're together for like a decade, and then one day, out of the blue, the guy just like up and leaves. And it's like, you know what you're supposed to feel at that moment? Betrayed and sad, because you were betrayed, and that's a sad thing, and that's okay. But I know personally, like, women that happens and they're just like on SSRIs the next day. And they're like, well, it's just temporarily to help me get over this hump. You mean to help deaden you to reality so you can make the same mistake again? Like, what would be the purpose of that? You're supposed to be sad. Something terrible has happened to you. You were betrayed. That's what happened. Your emotion is working correctly in that circumstance. Just like in most, almost all circumstances, your interpretation of the world, unfiltered, probably the correct one. It's only when all of these intrusive, planted within you thoughts stop you from getting to the obvious conclusion, put up firewalls in your interpretation of reality that force you to try to find some other explanation for what is obvious. Because the other option, the only other option here, is that like 50 to 75% of women in this country have a genuine chemical imbalance in their brain? I think that might be worth, like, if you actually think that the SSRIs, the antidepressants, are genuinely solving a chemical imbalance in your brain, that's what they claim to do. Even though, wasn't there a story like 2 years ago about how they did a whole bunch of double-blind studies and it turns out SSRIs don't actually function the way that they thought they did and don't actually have the effects that they thought they had? And there was a big bombshell study proving that actually we know nothing about the chemicals we're giving to women and how they actually affect the body. We just think we can observe some outcomes. So that's what we go on. And that was published and then just went away and didn't make an impact on anything. And everybody still prescribed everything in exactly the same way. So if you actually believe that these things are fixing a chemical imbalance in the brain, that might be a bigger issue. That would require like something way crazier to deal with. Thank God we know, yeah, we don't know how antidepressants work yet. Imagine half of your population is on a drug that the doctors themselves are like, we don't know what it does. Hey, at least she didn't shoot up a school, right? At least she only killed her own children. That's something different when it comes to SSRI-inspired violence. and this will be the last thing I say about this, but this, I think, is where we're going. Like, this, to me, is sort of at the heart of all of this, and it is why I brought up the thing about these shrimp committing suicide, because they can't recognize threats, because the parts of your brain that recognize threats and it's necessary for your survival and is the part of the brain that connects to God and the Holy Spirit, it needs to be deadened by these drugs. And here's the outcome. From Park Slope Moms, it's a Facebook group. This mother says, I'm at a slope playground and there's a man in his 30s with no kids pleasing himself while watching the kids. Now, before we read the rest of this, what do you think is going to happen? You now have the setting, okay?
Someone's going to die.
Yes. Obviously, when you've got an adult at a park with no children, watching children with his hands down his pants, obviously pleasuring himself, that's the setup. Now the question is, are you observing this situation through the eyes of a human being with a soul and a conscience, or are you a dead-eyed SSRI zombie? And in that case, what does this look like to you? What are the hormones firing in reaction to the realization that there's an adult man masturbating to your child at the park? It's through the eyes of the SSR shrimp, the shark looks like a friend. Let's find out, shall we? Let's find out what happened to this man caught red-handed, may not be the best, caught in the act. Let's find out. I moved my kids to the other side of the playground. Okay, good start. And approached him and asked him which kid he was there with and was about to call the cops. He confirmed he was there without a child, but it was immediately evident that he was severely developmentally disabled. Okay, so it's a retarded pedophile jerking himself to your children. That doesn't change anything, actually. I didn't want my Karen moment. Okay, so do you hear that? Hold on. Let me get a highlighter. I need to highlight that sentence. I didn't want my Karen moment. Do you see, she's not thinking for herself. She's not even thinking for her children. She's thinking about how she appears. She's thinking about what other people will think if she tries to do something. She's unwilling to confront a predator at a park spying on her children and doing lewd things. She hesitates because she doesn't want to look like a Karen. She doesn't want other people to think she's not cool. It wouldn't be very cool to protect your children from a pedophile. You don't want to be a Karen, do you? Do you understand that this is the problem? The problem is people care about this and other people play on it. And the systems that run our world are perfectly aware of how to manipulate women and they're very good at doing it. I don't want to have a Karen moment. I don't want to be called names. I don't want to look like a fuddy-duddy for daring to do something to protect my little children from a pedophile who was at the park with them.
Or the other kids.
Or the other kid, yeah, lots of kids there. But I also found the situation inappropriate and wasn't sure what to do. I walked away and kept my kids at a safe distance. Thoughts? Oh, I've got some thoughts, lady. And then she says ETA. I don't think she means estimated time of arrival. I think she means FYI. I am white. He is black. Okay, so you've got a black retarded pedophile pleasuring himself to the side of your children, and you are literally afraid of the social consequences of protecting the children. First of all, because you're a woman and you don't want to be perceived as a Karen. And second of all, because you're white and he's black and you don't want to be perceived as racist. Is it becoming clear to you how this is a microcosm for everything that's wrong in our world right now? That these labels affect weak people who can't think for themselves, who literally are herd animals, who, when given a choice between protect your child from a predator and kind of look like a meanie poo or let the predator continue and not risk being looked at like a school marm, they choose the dangerous one. Do you understand this is a animalistic instinct? This is a herd animal instinct. This is the behavior of a grazing beast, not a human being with thoughts. Do you understand? that these types of things should never even enter into the calculation when you're determining what to do to protect your children. And yet, how does this manifest itself in electoral outcomes? How does this manifest itself in what people are willing to do online? Because everything we've watched, all the women throwing eyes, all this performative crap, it's all got the same root, right? If you were to ask this woman, absent of anything, give her a truth serum and say, you know, should you get rid of this guy? She'd say, absolutely, of course you should. But that obvious, instinctual, correct impulse is battened down, deadened by claims of racism, deadened by people being called Karens. Like, this woman, what would her behavior be like if she wasn't on social media? If this woman was not on social media, she would have no fear of the Karen label. She would have no fear of racism. She would act like a human being. But because of the manipulation of social media and the weakness of these herd animal crowd-following women, they embrace this stuff, and they're actually willing to put their own children at risk rather than hold what they perceive to be an unpopular opinion. And that's why we're importing Muslims by the millions. That's why everything is going to crap in a very large degree. Because even if you have this impulse, you should at least have the intelligence to say, I might be called Karen. I might be called racist. But this is a predator, and that supersedes any other consideration. But that requires strength of will. That requires self-confidence. That requires being a human being and not an animal of the field. And unfortunately, this is a post written by a cow or a sheep or a horse, not a human being. Not in the soul category, anyway. I'm white and he is black, and while I'm not a medical professional, it was clear that he was severely developmentally disabled. While my kids and the kids in our community are always my number one priority, kinda. I mean, really number two priority, after wanting to look good to strangers. So just after wanting to seem like a cool mom to strangers is the physical protection of her children. We're aware of that already. While my kids and the kids in the community are always my number one priority, I'm also aware of racial tension and didn't want to make a mistake that could harm anybody. Racial tension. You know what,
Carl? I feel like the worst part about this, too, is like the feedback loop that she gets when she gets those likes for this post.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, I totally know how you feel. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, all right, so I'm good.
Yeah, it's a really tough situation, you know. Sometimes in those situations, it's best just to get out of the situation, you know, just go away from it. You did the right thing. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to know. Is it hard to know? So she's acting like she's like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what choice to make. No, you made a choice. You did not make a choice. You made the choice to allow the man masturbating at the park to your children to continue to do that. That was the choice you made. That was your priority. So there's that. There's all that. And then
I just also think it's also kind of rude that she didn't help him, you know, finish.
I mean,
that was rude.
Maybe she is a racist. You know, maybe we need to let her know. Be like, are you saying you did not help him? You did not provide your children to him? Are you racist? So you hate black people, I guess, huh? Huh. Interesting. Good to know. Good to know Park Slope is full of racist Karens. That's kind of hard to even make fun of this stuff because it's utterly sickening. Utterly and completely sickening. Now, let's get into what's going on with Rabbi Shmuley. Should we get into what's going on with Rabbi Shmuley? Because I think y'all need to hear this. Last week, or maybe it was the week before, we had on a young man named Austin Franco. Now, Austin Franco told a Jewish person that he was not interested in working for somebody of the Jewish faith. And in response to this, Joe Lansdale, the founder of, you know, one of the PayPal Mafia members, very high up, big tech guy, very important Zionist in America, he tells the the boss that, you know, Austin Franco told, I don't want to work for Jews. He told that guy, it's not, you got to say who this guy is. You got to give us his name. We got to destroy his life because people have to be afraid of Jews. That we have to make people afraid of saying stuff like this. We have to destroy their lives in retribution for not liking us. And it was a very sort of mask off moment. It in part inspired my coverage of the protocols of the elders of Zion, because I just recognized, like, that's what that's the playbook here. Is we'll never be loved, so we have to be feared. And that they're feeling as though they now have this ability to project inordinate punishment on anybody who questions them, and that should be used, and they should essentially threaten and blackmail and bully everybody else into submitting to them. Totally heinous mindset that is very obviously the common mindset of the entire leadership class of Israel and all of their apparatchiks here in America, including Rabbi Shmuley. Let's go to clip 14. Here's Rabbi Shmuley reflecting this same mindset of Jews need to be assassins and bullies, and we need to kill everybody we don't like, and that way they'll be scared of us because we're God's chosen people. And, you know, I guess being loved was just never an option for them. I feel like I have to explain this every time, but, like, you do understand that that is a deliberately created mindset, that, like, that's the whole point of this, is that Jews could and were and are loved in America, and it's never been an issue. And now they've decided that that vacation is over, that this little, you know, flash in the pan of Jews not being persecuted needs to come to an end, because the persecution of the Jews is necessary for the Jewish leadership to keep the loyalty of the Jewish populace. You should read the protocols of the Elders of Zion. Let's watch clip 14. Here's Rabbi Shmuley being just the worst.
Let me be clear. For thousands of years, we Jews have developed an insidious mental construct that we need to be loved. We need everyone to
like
us. Hold
on. Let's pause it.
Now, that would be
We got to pause it. We Jews have developed over thousands of years an insidious mindset that we need to be loved. Let's unpack that a little bit, shall we? First of all, where's the proof of that? Where's the proof of any of that? I'd love to see it. Just, there's one thing we know about Jews. It's their constant desire to be amenable and, you know, loved by everybody. They never do anything that's offensive or, you know, outrageous in any way. All through history, it's been the case, obviously. Is it an insidious mindset to be loved? Is that a bad thing? Is that an insidious thing? Because, you know, the Jews, for all of their existence, since Jesus came and proved them wrong, the entire time has been a series of them living in countries that weren't their own, that could have at any point eradicated them. And their entire existence depended on not being hated by the people around them. So you tell me, was that insidious? It was insidious for Jews to actually get along with and be friends with and friendly with the people they lived around that had all the power. What are you talking about? Okay, so he thinks it's an insidious mindset to want to be loved because you need to be feared. They want to be feared. Are you scared? I mean, as you're watching this, I'm kind of scared, actually. I mean, if there's one Jew that scares me, it is Rabbi Shmuley, because look at his face. Let's go back to the rabbi, you know, the priest. Let's watch.
Machiavelli said 500 years ago in Florence that you should want to be loved and feared. But if you have to choose, and October 7th has forced us to choose, then you need to choose being feared over being loved.
How's that going?
Jewish people have to be feared. Hamas has to fear the idea. Hezbollah and disgusting, poisonous, reptilian Iran has to fear the Mossad. Just think about this for a moment. When Israel goes in the heart of Tehran and kills Ismail Haniyeh, and I feel really bad for him.
America
did
that.
If I had $4 billion, I wish I could have lived longer and, like, bought more hot tubs and more.
Yeah, we know what you value. We know what your spiritual center is.
All that wasted money now, which his children are now suing Erdogan for. When you do that in the heart of Tehran, what do you think Khamenei himself is thinking? He's thinking, uh-oh, I'm next. These Jews actually fight back. The same thing is true in media. Why aren't we going after the Candace Owens of the world, the most disgusting reptilian anti-Semite in America? Why aren't we going after Roger Waters? Why aren't we going after Tucker Carlson? President Trump, who spoke here at the IAC the other day.
So I think we can pause it there, too. That was Rabbi Shmuley, you know, pretty unquestionably calling to kill Candace Owens, Roger Waters, and Tucker Carlson. There's not a lot of wiggle room as to where, like, what exactly he was saying there. He said Jews need to be feared. And he talks about assassinations that the Jews have carried out. What a good thing that was. And he says we should be inspiring that same fear. We should be going after. Actually, he says we're not going after Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Roger Waters. Now, obviously, they are doing everything they can legally, short of killing them. They are doing all of those things. They are writing hit pieces. They are trying to get their funding taken away. They're doing all of that. So when he says, why are we not doing that for Candace Owens? What are they not doing? What have they not done to Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson? Well, they haven't killed them. And he is talking about killing everybody that disagrees with the Jews, that doesn't want to work for the Jews. I guess they all have to die. We all have to fear Jews. Are you scared? I'm so scared. I'm so scared of the Jews. I want to, like, what is the, what are you doing to be feared in your everyday life? Common Jew, average Jew out there. You know, the Jew that goes and works as an accountant at a company and goes home to their wife and kids. I mean, you're sort of failing the mission that is being given to you by Rabbi Shmuley. Who are you killing? Who are you making fear you? How are you contributing to the fear that you're supposed to be inspiring in us Gentiles? Because as we know, I mean, they tried so hard to be loved. And it just didn't work. I mean, sure, you can say that our entire society has been deliberately reorganized specifically around the Holocaust as a consequence of what happened to the Jews, and that the Jews have had absolutely zero institutional barriers to absolutely anything in this country since its founding 250 years ago. But none of that matters because Rabbi Shmuley says you need to be feared. All of that love that has been given to the Jews, it is all now to be squandered and inverted and wasted and destroyed because Rabbi Shmuley gets a hard on about killing Iranians, okay? And it's not just Iranians. As you know, there are white Christian Americans and Europeans. They also need to have fear struck into their hearts by the terrifying and powerful Jewish people. I'm not scared. But I'm not scared, though. Darn it. Could they kill me? Maybe. Probably, if they wanted. Yeah, they probably could. Still not scared, scumbag. I have something you'll never have.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited power!
Am I going to be like that?
Well, I'm like that normally. So.
Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited power!
Alex
your power.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Iran wasn't a great power like Germany. It wasn't a great power like the Soviet Union. We're making Iran a major power as we go forward. But this was the biggest one, much more difficult than Vietnam, much more difficult than Iraq, much more difficult than Afghanistan. And so the consequence of taking on that much more dangerous, difficult foe are going to be with us really significantly longer.
Robert Pape has been analyzing, tracking, running simulations on all of this. Literally, the final lesson that this guy has taught at college, at school for a very long time, for a period of years, has been, oh, what would a simulated, you know, attack on Iran look like?
We are in a wicked escalation trap. We're not just seeing escalation. We're seeing it grow horizontally, and we're seeing Iran now initiating attacks, not just on the receiving end. The United States started this war and is now in a strategically worse position and is trying to simply get back to even. This war has upended the balance of power in the region that existed before the war. Before the war, America was the ascendant power, Israel the rising power, and Iran the declining power. Now all of those lines are reversed. And Iran thinks it won the war and it should be in control of Hormuz and have large influence in the Persian Gulf and the Middle East it did not have before. The United States is trying to reverse its defeat and is not accepting the new status quo.
The history of us covering this Iran war and being against it, this whole conflict, is not some crackpot theory that we have about how this could potentially be bad. This is what all the experts have said, again, since before day one. You can go to college professors like Pape. You can go to analysts like Larry Johnson.
We don't have good intelligence, and we certainly don't have ground-penetrating radar that tells us how many missiles they've got stacked up in these tunnels and buried in these mountains. But I guarantee you that in addition to storing such missiles, they're also doing production of such missiles in these secure locations. So we don't have even a clue exactly how many they have.
You can go to literally everybody who commentates and talks about this in the online geopolitical space. This is not rocket science. Look at this. Trump's pattern of strategic defeat is only leading to more escalation, a world economic crisis, and more gains for Iran. This is the thing. The longer it lasts, the more concessions they're able to extract out of us. And the situation that Trump is in, it's very tough. He doesn't have the ability to extract concessions from the Iranians, but at the same time, he doesn't have the ability to extricate himself from the conflict, because if he does, Israel remains under threat because they're violating what Iran wants them to do by not invading Lebanon and not killing the rest of the Palestinians. You have to understand, this is all an ethno-supremacist war.
It sounds like you're saying one Jewish life mm-hmm. is worth hundreds or thousands of Palestinian lives.
Not million. One Jewish life, it's 10 million, okay?
That just sounds racist.
Yes, I know. I know. But this is the truth. Because God chose us. Because of this, you are jealous.
And it's not our ethnicity. It's not white people. It's not black people. It's not Mexicans. That's not the problem. What's the quote from The Hobbit? There's no need for war between dwarves, elves, and men. A legion of orcs marches upon the mountain. Like, this is a real problem. We're fighting and dying in a war, an ethno-supremacist religious war, for people thousands of miles away that we're not related to and could care less about, that have no relation to the foundation or history of our new republic / empire here, the last 250 years of the United States. It's a ludicrous idea to think that you have to go fight and die or serve a state like this. And it's a ludicrous idea that any political candidate would come to you hat in hand and tell you you just have to be good and support them a little bit harder, and we're going to be able to get all this done. We're never going to be able to get any of it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We cannot do it without your support. I am in the conversation studio. We need a name for this room, but I'm here in the auxiliary port with the one and only Stuart Rhodes.
The table.
We're here at the conversation table with Stuart Rhodes, founder of the Oath Keepers, who has finally, after a very long saga, been fully restored to your condition before you were falsely sentenced to jail. You have now, because this has been a long saga, you know, people might not know you were not pardoned, right? Give us exactly what happened.
So I was railroaded along with many others, refused to take a deal, refused to turn on President Trump, myself and my co-defendant, Oath Keepers, like the Proud Boys who refused to take a deal, went through all that, year and a half of solitary confinement, 3 years of prison, let out on inauguration night by the grace of God, you know, President Trump set us free, but not pardoned. We're given commutations only. There were 14 of us at that time. Then it was down to 12 of us still remaining who were not pardoned. And I'm a disabled veteran, just like Joe Biggs is, and Pozzola. A lot of us were veterans, and so we lost all of our benefits and everything. Our right to keep and bear arms, all of it gone. But by the grace of God, the DOJ finally, under Todd Blanche's leadership, finally moved the Court of Appeals. On the eve of us filing our appellate briefs, like 3 days before they were due, the DOJ suddenly
finally did it.
Yeah. So you can ask why that would be. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
But so they said, okay, Court of Appeals, please vacate these convictions. And the Court of Appeals did, and remand it back to the trial court for dismissal of prejudice. We're going to file a motion. They expressed an intent to file a motion. They did. Judge Kelly in the Proud Boy case just said two lines: because the Constitution and Rule 48A of Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure demands it, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the charges with prejudice.
And it's as simple as that.
Yeah, simple as that. Now, Judge Mehta, on the other hand, threw a temper tantrum. You know, two pages of, you can call it dicta, I guess, like things that are kind of like not really about the actual decision.
Right.
It's not even dicta. It's just propaganda. Just more than false narrative. So for two pages, he goes on and on about how we were tried by a jury of our peers and we had a fair trial and all this kind of stuff. None of that was necessary. But in the end, he says, I still have to go ahead and do this because I have no discretion not to. So why'd you even say all that?
God.
So he finally granted it.
That's great. That's good. Long overdue.
Now, all charges dismissed with prejudice. I'm restored back to as the place where I was as an innocent person unindicted. So now my gun rights restored, my veterans benefits, all that's restored by the grace of God.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
You know, I'm not going to look a gift horse, you know, in the mouth or anything. I just, you know, you're back to where you were, but, you know, minus the several years of torment that you've been put through. But
hey, you know,
we'll take it. I just wish they'd free
I'll
up
take
that.
What I can get. But I still, like, I had interviewed Shana today earlier. It's what's really horrible is that the lawfare continues even under Trump's own nose.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, because in case people missed the last hour of the Alex Jones Show, you had on this woman, Shana Gaviola, and I'm bummed that we're just now hearing about her case because she's going to jail on Monday.
She's sentenced. She's supposed to be self-reporting at Fort Worth, Texas, to enter federal prison on Monday. And this was a case tried in December of 2025 during the current Trump administration, and then sentenced in April of this year. because she stood up to people who were trying to transgender her 15-year-old son against her will.
This is like the actual horror story that we were warning about, like when they first started passing laws like this or started talking like this. You know, we were laying out circumstances where it's like, imagine your kid is being secretly groomed by his teachers in school without telling you. And then if you object to it, they take your kid away and send them to live with like gay transsexuals so they can groom him further. It is the actual horror, like, potentiality that we used to talk about, saying this is the road we're going down, but it actually happened to this woman. And it's just the most egregious and really despicable things that happened to her and her family. And now she's going to jail for 3 years for this.
During the Trump administration, and they had a transgender prosecutor, a guy pretending to be a woman, was prosecuting her. Under the Trump administration. So what is going on in the Trump DOJ?
That is just insane. And so, but it is a federal charge, so Trump could pardon her.
Yeah, he could pardon her and the DOJ. Like I said on the show, the DOJ could do the same thing with her they do with us. They could move the Court of Appeals of the Ninth Circuit, in this case, to vacate the convictions and then to remand and dismiss with prejudice. They could free her. So two different ways. The DOJ could do it, or President Trump could do it with a stroke of a pen. That's what we encourage people to do, is go, you know, hit up the White House and burn their phone line up, try to get this done.
Seriously, I mean, and this would be something that I think it would go perfectly in line with other stuff Trump is doing. I mean, it was just a couple weeks ago that he was talking about prosecuting transgender doctors, and, you know, people did that. I don't know if anything's come of that. But obviously they're still sort of, you know, pushing the anti-trans agenda, which is good. That's what we want.
Right.
This would be a...
At least up here.
Well, yeah.
But at the operational level inside the DOJ across the country, is still going on.
Which is just insane. This would be a home run victory, literally, just like this mother is being taken away from her children for 3 years. We're not going to let that happen.
Right.
Why would he not do that? Is there any reason not to do that?
Doesn't know about it, probably.
It.
Yeah. So, you know, we should stand outside the White House with signs in our hands, I guess, you know, free Shana. So Tina Peters is in Washington, D.C., and has been talking to Shana and is advocating for her. So hopefully she can get a message to President Trump directly.
I don't see why he wouldn't do this. I think this would be a huge political victory for him. And obviously, it's right.
It's a no-brainer and no downside. Yeah,
no downside at all. And again, the just the bare-bones story of her. So her son was 13 and his school started secretly transitioning.
That's when the grooming began, when he was 13. Started calling him by a female name in school, unbeknownst to her, planning for him to be transitioned physically. Without her even knowing about it, she finally caught wind of it, started pushing back, and then they sent somebody in who was also one of them to talk her into letting him live with this woman, and she was also part of the plan to groom him, and then unfortunately her son was accused of sexually assaulting a 7-year-old boy, but that was also because of the grooming that he was undergoing.
Wow!
So they're grooming him to be gay and grooming him to be, you know, whatever.
And she's been arrested and is now going to jail for trying to stop it. I mean, what did she do to
She tried to send her son to
a different school,
boys camp run by a Christian, a devout Christian camp in Missouri. And that was really the real sin. The FBI had already been investigating this Christian boys school and camp in Missouri because they work on, you know, deprogramming kids from trans grooming.
Right.
So they're already targeting him. So they are charged and arrested her, and the first thing they did is offer her a deal, no prison time at all, just probation, if she will turn on the dean of the school and help them put him in prison.
Whoa.
She refused. That's what she's put on trial.
Because that's the way this works, is they pass laws that are like, whatever they call it, conversion therapy, right? You can't engage in conversion therapy. You can't try to convince your kid not to be gay or not to be trans. But at the same time, the school and the media, and they're actively being encouraged and
well, there is no convinced. Actual law. It's because the trans groomers had gotten the son to go get a restraining order, a temporary restraining order from the judge against the mother.
Against his own mother.
That's all they did. So that's all they had was that. And so they wanted her to testify that the dean knew about it and violated the order by going and getting her son and transporting him. She refused to do that, so they came after her instead on the same basis. She was not allowed to tell the jury about any of that, about the grooming, about what her sexual assault of her son against a minor child. Another reason why she didn't want him in the house, she sent him someplace else. She was not allowed to tell the jury about any of that. And then two of the prosecutors, a female FBI agent, a female FBI agent and one of the prosecutors, a male, both were trying to pick up on her and arrange a threesome with her. She was not also not allowed to tell the jury about that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
crazy. Good Lord.
It's nuts, yeah.
And I don't know if you saw, I played on the show today, Brandon Straka put out a video against Dan Bongino. Did you watch that one?
Yeah, I did.
So good. I mean, and he's another January 6er. He got put through the ringer just like you did.
Not quite just like I did, but yeah.
No, I'm familiar with your story. I'm not as familiar with his story. Yeah. I haven't known him that well until this year. I really like the guy, meeting him.
I'm glad he didn't do the prison time we did. I'm glad.
Because I thought he
did a few weeks.
Okay.
Just, hey, all J6ers have my respect. He stuck by his guns, did the right thing, but it wasn't quite as bad as what we went through.
Right.
You know, that's okay.
But you still get your life destroyed and the money it costs and the reputation. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
And I was sort of shocked in the video of how he talked about the utter lack of concern or lack of interest that Dan Bongino or anybody from the Trump administration seemed to show for the January 6ers. Now, his commutation of your stuff and the pardons that he did on the first day, I've always said that is an unqualified good. I'm so glad that he did that. And I'll never regret voting for Trump for that reason alone. But apparently there was no follow through. They don't actually care. I mean, what's your experience been with all of this as a January 6er? I mean, has the Trump administration been there for you, like getting through this stuff, or the fact that, I mean, your persecutor is still there, right?
Ultimately, like I said, for us, it was a good outcome, but I have questions about why that was done. Several of our attorneys, their opinion is that was done to avoid all the dirt coming out in the appeal, that it was the institution of the DOJ defending itself, protecting itself by not going forward with that appellate process. So, you know, I'm still grateful. I'll express public gratitude to, I guess, Todd Blanche and everybody else for doing this, but I don't trust the DOJ as an institution now any more than I did before. And that's seen the purges we need to see. Jocelyn Ballantyne, for example, is still right now persecuting an innocent man, Brian Cole Jr., being railroaded, just like I was, being railroaded to cover for the actual pipe bomber. And so you've got the DOJ doing that. You've got the FBI under Bongino and Patel that did that to Brian Cole Jr. So, no, I consider Kat Patel and Dan Bongino traitors, frankly. And I think they're knowingly prosecuting and persecuting an innocent man to cover for the deep state. So, no, we have not seen the cleaning of the house like we expected to see.
It's just like, if you're going to be a member of the deep state, how do you also come off as such a schmuck? You know, it's like, what is he doing it for, right? It's not like maybe money, I guess, but it's like Dan Bongino. He had a great gig. He was like one of the top podcasters.
Oh, I loved him. When I was in prison, I listened to him. I mean, the other inmates of the J6ers listened to him every night, every day.
So, like, what causes somebody to go from that to then join the FBI, then just completely flip on everything, come out and start, like, attacking the very people that he went in there to help? I lack a sufficient explanation for that behavior.
How does it happen? They control people through bribery, through money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through blackmail, we're going to expose you, or through threats. That's how they control people. So I imagine it's one of those three. That's why you had Bongino and Kat Patel like deer in the headlights, looking like they're like hostages in a video.
Yeah.
Talking to the Fox News lady, Bertolina, I think her name is. Yeah. So that first interview was like, oh, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, he killed himself. That's nothing there. The Butler investigation's been closed because the shooter's dead. I was like, what? You know? So it's nuts. So they, you know, either they sold out or they were coerced or whatever. Whatever the excuse is, I don't care. They took the same oath I did. I served as a paratrooper to defend the Constitution. You got no excuses. That goes all the way to the top. No one has an excuse for not doing their duty.
And it's like, do they not know how they would be rewarded by the American people for sticking to their guns? Like, that's the thing I don't understand. It's like, okay, if you're doing this for money, like, don't you understand that, like, the American people will give you everything they have if you just come out and say what's actually going on, just tell us what's actually going on, just actually try to solve things? That is always going to be the better choice to make, but they never make that choice. They always choose to cover up and to go along.
Everyone. I mean, Joe Kent did the right thing.
That's true.
Massey did the right thing. I think MTG has proved up. So Tulsi in her own way has proved up. So there are people like that, but it's very few. You can name them all on one hand.
Yeah.
All the rest of them will ride over.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, the support for those people is always going to be deadened and minimized because of, you know, Trump's attacks on him and just the whole MAGA split right now.
Yeah.
You know what? Before we move on, I forgot to do while we were talking about Shanna. Do you know her Give, Send, Go?
So let me see if she texted that. I asked her.
Because I do want to send, because I know this is a story that I didn't know about and just heard about today. I'm sure a lot of people are hearing about it for the first time.
She gave me a QR code. I don't know what to do with that.
All right, well, maybe we'll when we put it out on X, we'll tag her so people can find out how to support her. Because, yeah, I mean, we would have been covering this the whole time if we'd known about it. It's just slipped between the cracks. And also, guys, I don't have a clock, so if I can get the music or the clock put up.
Yeah, I'll give this to you. It's a really super long. He's a shortened down, dude. GiveSendGo.com/Shana.
Yeah.
But it's not like that. It says a bunch of other stuff.
But it is to GiveSendGo. So yeah. I'm sure if you search Shana Gaviola, just make sure it's the right one. But obviously, she's going to need our help one way or the other.
She'll need commissary funds. She goes to prison, you know, and she'll need letters. People should write her. When I was a prisoner, it made a big difference to receive letters from all over the country. It really did.
Yeah. Man. It's a lot of blackpilling news these days. The SPLC has been a big story, though. And
that's a win. I like
that's,
that.
That's a win. I agree. How far do you think that's going to go? What do you think is going to come of the SPLC lawsuits that are happening right now?
Well,
criminal charges. Criminal, as well, criminal. Yeah.
I mean, I hope they put Heidi in prison. That'd be awesome. I'll write her. Yeah. I'll send her letters. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say? Dear Heidi.
Dear Heidi. How's it feel?
How's it feel? Yeah.
Yacht.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, I think that's great. That's what's so schizophrenic. The Trump administration is schizophrenic.
Yeah.
On the one hand, they do stuff like that. I mean, like I was talking to Shana. She said that when she was going through a trial, Pam Bondi put out a memo stating they're not going to, they're no longer as policy, going to be going after Christians that are opposing abortion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, parents advocating against transing their children. She puts a memo out like that, but the rank and file U.S. attorneys across the country just laugh and throw it in the round file. They don't care what she says.
That's how it always happens. I've been talking about that with DEI. I mean, we should keep showing videos of people going to their college and say, hey, do we still do DEI? And they go, well, we're not really allowed to, but yeah, but we do. I mean, so it's like, without enforcement, without punishment for the people breaking the laws, it kind of doesn't matter what the dictates from on high are.
Without firings.
Yeah.
They should have been fired. Anyone who continued to prosecute this woman and persecute her should have been fired, but they weren't. And so, you know, they continue to drive on. The machine grinds on. The lawfare against J6ers grinds on right now. You got those two cases in front of Judge Mehta. And the, you know, the lawfare against Christians grinds on. Who else is being persecuted and prosecuted right now around the country? We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought we won. I thought we won, Stuart. What happened to us winning in 2024? I mean, everything has gone off the rails, obviously, with the Trump administration. Schizophrenic, I think, is a great way to you know, a great thing to call it, because that is exactly how I feel, especially when it comes to Iran. Completely schizophrenic, completely incomprehensible, whatever the hell's going on there. What is your take on the state of the world right now? I mean, you probably have a unique position amongst anybody. I mean, are the Republicans still the horse to ride, or what do we do here?
I don't think so. I mean, I'd say no, except for a few exceptions. I would support Massey. I would support Joe Kent, maybe Tulsi Gabbard.
They're not Republicans anymore. I mean, they've been booted.
So, I mean, I've always advocated, as an old-school Ron Paul Republican, I've always advocated for taking over the GOP from the inside. But it's so difficult. Look what happened just in Florida. Bilzerian being robbed, Fishback being robbed. It's just like what happened here in Texas with Doc Chambers being robbed. So you don't have an actual election system. You can't actually elect people anymore.
Right.
They control that. So unless and until we get election integrity, it's a joke. So what's the point in voting? So, but I want people to say, well, Stuart Rhodes is saying don't vote. I'm not saying that, but you've got to fix the election system at the local level. I would say the county level is where things need to be focused at, because otherwise the GOP right now, I mean, they're going to lose the midterms, and they deserve to lose the midterms because they've completely turned their back on MAGA and turned their back on the American people.
Yeah. And this is the frustrating part is, like, obviously you and I do not want the left to be in charge.
No.
They literally tried to send you to jail for the rest of your life, pretty much. Like, it's like nobody is more incentivized to not have the left in power than you, which to me, I'm the same way. I definitely don't want the left in charge, which is why I'm so mad at the Republicans, so mad at Trump. I mean, they did this to us. They have set us up in this situation where now Tallarico is pulling ahead.
They squandered a golden opportunity.
Squandered it.
Yeah.
So what do we do? I mean,
I'm planning on walking for Paxton, but I'm going to check out his positions. I'm not. Here's where I'm at. I will not support or go knock on doors for a Christian Zionist. I just won't do it. If you're beholden to a foreign country, I'm sorry. That's on you. I'm not going to support you. My oath's too important. I'm America only.
That's the problem, isn't it? This is what we're being forced to choose between, is a rabid communist or a Zionist shill. It's like,
I'm not choosing either one. Pox on both their houses. I'm not going to do it. So, you know, it might be that we're in the same place the founding fathers were in their day. They had no political solution when it came to reconciling with the crown. They had to just go their own way. So maybe we have to go our own way in a modern context.
What's that look like?
Good question. But, you know, when you don't have the ability to actually elect people that you, like Doc Chambers, when you know the corrupt machine is stealing it, you can't even root out the bad guys like Governor Abbott in the primary. You know, you can't get rid of someone like Randy Font in a primary. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to just say, okay, well, you know, that's just the way it is. They own the machine. You can't reform the machine with the machine.
Yeah.
So you have to step outside of it and say, you know what? We don't care what you do. We don't care, you know, we don't consider it legitimate. We declare it illegitimate. Same thing the founding fathers did with the crown. We don't recognize your governors as being legitimate over us or your edicts as being legitimate. That's where we're going to have to wind up being. And I think the focal point should be local.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly where you can actually, you know, affect things.
But not always through voting. Like, I love the fact that people are chopping down flock cameras all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Well, and somehow that has become a left-wing position. Explain that one to me, Stuart. I mean, this is the thing that blows my mind. I'm playing a video yesterday.
I saw that.
The Muslim guy in Michigan or wherever being like, do you hate being watched? I do, too. And it's like, shut the f- – no, you don't. You don't give a damn about this, but they know it's popular.
But the Republican candidate up there is so horrible that – it makes it easy for them to say this because he's horrible. What's his name? Mike Rogers?
Mike Rogers, yeah.
Yeah, he's terrible.
And he's tied in with all the surveillance
stuff. You should have Chris and Megyn Kelly on talk about him.
Yeah.
She's been railing about him for years and years. She's up there. That's her neck of the woods. So they've pushed the problem of the Republican Party. They push guys like that who are in favor of mass surveillance, love the Patriot Act, love FISA, you know, advocate for all of that. They put them up as your only so-called choice as a Republican. Then now the Democrats can go, okay, we're for privacy. We're against flock. And then they win the election. And next thing you know, you got another Muslim communist over you.
And it's like this is supposed to be our thing. Actually, we're supposed to be the ones that are concerned about constitutional protections and the Fourth Amendment. And it's just like time and time again, the Republicans just
they're not.
They have this golden goose and they go, here you go, Democrats. You have it. You take this incredibly popular position.
Right.
It's madness. It feels like it has to be on purpose to me.
And they tell us you must support the Republican Darth Vader because he's Republican.
And you're
like
you're a liberal if you're concerned about, you know, if you're anti-war or if you're concerned about privacy. It's like, I'm a constitutionalist.
Exactly. And then they're like, oh, what do you want, Kamala? You know, or they'll say, what do you want? You want this guy? They point to the lefty.
Yeah.
So they want you to, like you said, it's either a poop soup or a crap sandwich.
Yep. And the frustrating thing is, you know, we went and did this America First versus MAGA debate, and their answer was, well, you should have done this in the primaries. And it's like, it's the primaries right now, and they're not letting our guys have a stand. I mean, they're not debating our guys. I mean, and to me, that really, it all comes down to the stupidity of the American people. I don't even want to say it like that, but it's like
it's corruption of the Republican Party.
Yeah, but it's the people don't hold it. Like with Thomas Massie and Fishback, both of their opponents refused to debate. To me, it's like as a thinking American person trying to decide, that should be disqualifying. You should go, I'm not going to vote for somebody who won't stand for their ideas and won't face their opponent.
It might have been. I don't think like I walked doors when knocked on doors for Massie with other friends of mine from Texas, and I don't believe that was a fair election.
You think that was rigged?
Yeah, I think so. I think the same thing happened with Fishback. I think the same thing happened to Bilzerian. I don't trust the system at all anymore. I mean, since 2020. Come on.
Right, why would you? Well, that's the problem is we're sort of tilting at windmills, fighting shadows, where meanwhile it's just completely corrupt underneath.
You're not voting your way out of this.
Yeah.
You're not voting. We're not going to – voting alone is not going to save us. That's just the way it is. So I believe we need to recognize reality in front of us. And like I said, take a page out of the Founding Fathers' book and get ready.
If only it was as simple as it was back then. If only muskets and cannons were all we had to worry about, it'd be very different. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes. Stay with us, folks.
Planet Earth, filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
TheAlexJonesStore.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The ultramethylene red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spread through every vein.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all, at this point, middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there's a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Well, oh, I've said that. Well, the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat. Your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but didn't really wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene Blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, you'll get Masterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. Talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals, it is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Come to the conference, are you?
Yeah.
Are we live?
Do it.
Oh, we were just casually talking about attending the Christ is King conference, November 12th through 14th in Dallas, Irving, Texas. You can go to newchristianright.com/conference. Use promo code Harrison for 20% off or Alex Jones for 20% off. To be fair, it is his platform. I should plug his code. Alex Jones is the promo code, newchristianright.com/conference. But obviously during the break, we were just talking about like what comes next. What do we do here? I mean, it seems like the political world is being shaken up and totally discombobulated, and yet the powerful are still rigging things. We were talking about the possibility or potential for a third party. The audience knows my views on this, and they're not really certain one way or the other. What's your take on a potential third party?
I'm of divided mind about that, too. I've always been as a Ron Paul Republican, was take over with the Republican Party from the inside, but yet we've been betrayed over and over and over again. When we try to do that. And so it might be that a third party is necessary just to wake them up that, hey, you can't take voters for granted if you want to have any political power and not have the country go completely 100% communist. You've got to start running our people.
You got to actually do something for us. Like, it doesn't even have to be everything. We aren't asking for, you know, everything we want on our Christmas list, but just like actually do the deportations, actually, you know, just get the stuff done that you ran on and get out of the war in Iran, obviously, although we may be too deep in that at this point. Although I hear now we're going with an economic warfare model, which is interesting because that's what we were running before, you know, the war we tried. I mean, it's just the most humiliating thing of all time. So from Alex Jones Live, MTG Unleashed, ex-MAGA loyalist says Trump record on Epstein, affordability, and war will harm the GOP in midterms and in 2028. A new national poll has Democrats leading congressional ballot by 8 points. U.S. national debt just hit $40 trillion for the first time in history. And even Texas now is looking like we may have a Democrat senator. Tallarico is now above Ken Paxton with Polymarket, one of the most accurate current.
None of that's good. And I don't want any of that.
It all sucks.
But it's not our fault that they're screwing the pooch and betraying their own base.
We did our part. We got them elected. We gave them the power. They took the sword of power, and then they went off to fight Iran and left us alone.
They stabbed us in the back with it, actually, what they did.
Well, so what do you say to people who say it's like, well, you're getting some stuff. You should appreciate what you are getting because Trump is better than Kamala, because that's the
persistent
argument.
Because I know what's going to happen when they come roaring back into power. They're going to come after all of us. They're not purging. They're not draining the swamp. They're not purging out the bad guys in the DOJ or the FBI. All of them are more than happy to come right. In fact, they're still doing it. They're persecuting guys like like Shana. So they're coming after Christians right now. And when they come back into power, it'll be full bore. And so that's why we have to, the message to Trump should be, remember your oath. Remember what you were put here to do. Remember why God saved you in Butler. Get back on mission. It's not too late. You can still fix this. And he's the only one that can. I don't believe anybody else below him has any interest at all in saving this country. If we can remind him of his obligation and duty, we have a chance through him. But if that doesn't happen, we're going to have to do it the hard way, the Founding Fathers way. That's my message.
Yeah, and it's been the message, you know, we've been saying, you've been saying, and I've been saying the entire time, which is like, we are so desperate to have this system corrected. The last thing we want is to have our great country descend into internal conflict and civil war. But at the end of the day, the Shana woman, God forbid I'm ever in a situation like her, but I said to you, you know, this is the type of situation where you're trying to send me to jail for 3 years for trying to protect my kid. I'm going to Mexico. I'm not going to sit here and be leveled this punishment that is so unjust and that is so illegal and undeserved.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, people are going to stop taking it. Or all the murders that you see where the same person gets let out 40 times. At a certain point, somebody's going to lose a family member and they're not going to trust the system to take care of it, and it's going to start a cycle of revenge. I mean, we are careening towards this
you're going to get
future we don't want.
Citizen vigilante.
Yeah, and I'm surprised we haven't had it yet, to be honest with you.
And I'm going to say this. That might be – I'll say it this way. That's a better alternative to what we're presented with, that you can't do anything except submit and then what, you sacrifice your children on the altar of political correctness and you just submit a slave? No. So like I said, go look back to the Founding Fathers. They chose to fight. I'll choose to fight when it comes to it.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
And that's sort of the fail-safe. It's just like, look, no matter what, I'm going to have guns. I'm going to be fit. I'm going to have food stored. So
exactly, right.
I'll be okay. I'd love to save the country. At the end of the day, I will be saving myself
and my family. Like Kyle Cerfin said not too long ago on his show, he's like, you know, I'm not going to vote anymore. There's no point. It's a broken system. I'm going to focus on my training, on getting in better shape. I could spend that time at the range working on my skills, and he got attacked by people. Like, what are you doing? You know? So I understand his mindset. So I would say do both if you can, where you can. The Founding Fathers took over at the town level and the county level. Focus on that. That's where actual progress can be made. Who your county commissioner is, who your sheriff is, that does matter. We had a county commissioner tell the flock guy that your CEO should be executed publicly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the kind of guy you want in your county commission.
And I think I don't know if I have it printed out. I think I saw it right before the show, but I think Texas has stopped like 1,800 data centers being built.
Right.
Which is another one of these things, which to me, I heard the data centers were going up and I'm like, this sucks. You know, nobody had to tell me, nobody convinced me to hate data centers. It was just like, I looked at the data and I was like, the only possible reason you could have to build this is to parse immense amounts of surveillance data.
Mass surveillance.
That's it. That's the only reason you could possibly want it.
That's what's being created over us. That's why, like with Palantir and Peter Thiel, that's why I don't support J.D. Vance.
Right.
Absolutely not.
And he now, the latest from Drudge was that he is now dipped under Rubio. Rubio now outperforms Vance on the 2028 ballots.
That's ironic.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, because he was pushing Rubio as a model candidate.
Right.
Back in 2016, he wrote an article lambasting Republicans, saying that they're out of touch, saying it was a laughing stock to even talk about mass deportations. What he said back then,
right?
It's not serious, and he was supporting Rubio as the ideal candidate.
And now, yeah, that is very strange. And
yeah.
Rubio, to me, I mean, he's just like a political snake. I just don't trust
another
him.
Another neocon.
Yeah.
Zionist shill.
Yeah.
What he is.
Literally.
Yeah.
And then there are discussions, you know, with. You know, early in his career with Ehud Barak and Epstein, I think, or no, it was Ellison. I get these guys confused. But literally being like, there's this new guy, Marco Rubio, that will be very good for our cause.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, literally his entire political career was paved for the radical Zionist elements.
I don't trust J.D. Vance either.
Yeah.
I mean, he wrote for leftist rags while I was in law school, after he got out of law school for The Atlantic and The New York Times. He was a darling of the professors there. Some of the same professors I knew, like Amy Chua, I know her. I took one of her classes. So, yeah, so he was all about that, all about basically the Romney style, the what's his name? He worked for the Texas senator.
Not Bush.
No, the one just left.
Cornyn?
Cornyn, yeah.
Okay.
That's the vein he was in. And he was anti-Trump, right? Oh, Trump's a Nazi and all this kind of stuff. And then he's like, oh, wait a minute.
Which way is the wind blowing?
Exactly. I'm going to jump on the Trump train. I don't trust him. We don't have time to screw around with someone like that.
Yeah.
Run a Joe Kent, run a Thomas Massie. They approved up. That's who you want to run.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
And if that's the case, I think it's got to be a third party. I don't think the Republicans would stand for it.
No, you never know. We could try to run one like that. Maybe do both. Run one like that in the primary with the threat that if you don't accept our candidate, we're going to put him in as a third party candidate.
That's actually a really interesting idea.
That's the threat.
Yeah.
Nuclear option threat. And then after that, we're just going to train and get ready for the fight.
Yeah, right. No, because it's going to get bad. I mean, the flock camera's going up. I mean, I don't need to tell you what happens when these things go online and the Democrats get back in place.
It's going up right now. The Republicans, this has been a cycle I've seen since the 80s. They build the machinery of the surveillance state and total power in the executive branch, and then the Democrats come in and use it. Like George Bush, not just the Patriot Act, but enemy combatant status, all that stuff that I was reeling against back then, they create the machine, and here it comes. Like the other day you were talking about, it could be an American on a fishing boat that's blasted, right?
Right.
That is actually what they've laid the groundwork for legally. All that's in place. They could just declare you an unlawful combatant and smoke you from the sky.
I've noticed it. I mean, it's like mission creep happening. It's like, well, mm-hmm. they're terrorists. Well, they're narco-terrorists. Well, mm-hmm. dealing drugs is actually going to kill Americans, so therefore you're an enemy combatant.
Right.
But it's such a – but how do you enforce that? I mean, how is that a you know, barrier to say, okay, well, they deal drugs, so therefore you get to kill them.
Or they're suspected of dealing drugs. That's the problem.
Exactly.
Is that it can lead to a situation, and it's going to lead to drones in the sky, they're weaponized, automatic kill decisions by the drones. The drone decides, or the AI decides, probably because you've been designated as anti-Semitic or whatever.
Yeah, seriously.
So that they decide, that, oh, he's really a terrorist. You get smoked.
Yeah, and that's the way that the word is transforming of terrorism.
Right.
It's now, you know, if you disagree with the warmongers that run everything. And this
I was called a terrorist, right?
Well, yeah. You're sentenced for it.
Right.
Actually, I was called officially.
At a terrorism enhancement in my sentencing? Exactly. So, yeah.
Completely insane. I'm sitting here with a convicted terrorist. It's so absurd.
No longer convicted.
No longer convicted. A formerly convicted terrorist. My God. and the crazy thing is, it's so bad here, I'm like, kind of envious of China, because I got this headline. China sentences Evergrande founder to life in prison. A court in China on Thursday sentenced the billionaire founder of Evergrande to life in prison years after the real estate giant's collapse brought China's financial system to the brink. And so, I mean, this had to do with the Evergrande ship getting stuck and causing all the problems. But why can we not throw our billionaires in prison? Why do we not have the ability to actually hold the powerful to account here in this country? Why am I looking to China and being like, gee, they seem to be able to do it. We cannot for the life of us. We can't put Anthony Fauci in prison. We can't put Bill Gates in prison. We can't even charge him with anything. Why can China do it and we can't?
Well, if in the Chinese system, the party, if the party loves you, you're okay. If they don't, you're dead. Same thing goes on in Russia. So we don't really want to have that here, right?
No, we don't.
But we don't see. I mean, we do see. What's the guy's name that was killed? The guy that did the anti virus software.
Oh, McAfee.
McAfee.
Yeah.
He's an example of a rich guy that was killed.
Yeah, okay, true.
So it can happen.
Yeah, so if you're the wrong, yeah, if you're, yeah, the wrong type of
guy. If you're one of
guy.
Us, I mean, Elon Musk, you someday, right, might get smoked. So, you know.
Yeah, true. I just, you know, obviously I don't actually envy China really at all. But I just think, you know, when you point out, like, okay, the right wing builds these programs, they refuse to use them, which is, to me, kind of the bizarre part. It's like, okay, at least if you're going to build these, you should give the excuse of like, but look at all the great stuff we did. Look at all the criminals we caught. Look at all the kidnapped kids we brought forward. But they don't do any of that.
No.
They don't go into the ghettos to get the guys with illegal guns there. They will come after you for your illegal guns, right? Like
illegal guns.
Well, yeah. not you in particular, but they will come after, you know, a actual respectable law-abiding citizen if they happen to violate a gun law, whereas you can see video after video of black dudes in the ghetto flaunting their switches and Glocks and all these illegal guns. The point is, these control systems are never actually used to stop the criminals. They're only ever used to stop the people.
Of course. Like, when I was being transported back and forth to trial, the U.S. Marshals told me, they're like, oh, man, we go arrest guys all the time and they're carrying guns illegally, and I don't think any gun laws should be valid at all. But they're like, oh, we capture all these guys all the time, and they let them right back out. The judges let them right back out.
Yeah.
So here I am being held in pretrial detention, solitary confinement, but they get out all the time.
For an unspoken conspiracy. Read your telepathic conspiring.
So any Republican that supports the building of more power in the executive branch, more surveillance, is an idiot. Because it's never used against the left. It's only used against us. And they'll throw a carrot out there once in a while, like this SPLC prosecution. That's a carrot. Looks good on the news. Oh, they're really going after the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, and I think that's just a shiny bauble, make you think they're doing something real when it's not really happening. That's what I think. I'm black-pilled on that, too.
Yeah, well, and I'm kind of the same way, where it's like everything the Trump administration does that's good, I'm like, is it though? Like, what's actually happening? I refuse to just like take it on the face of it. Like, wow, the Trump administration did something great. There's always a poison pill in there somewhere.
When I see Brian Cole Jr. freed, I'll believe something real's happening.
Right. Yeah. Well, and even the SPLC thing, it's like, I guess they're going after them for fraud, which is fine if that's what you're going after them. But like, isn't their crime actually a lot worse? Didn't they actually like contribute to like—
Incite?
Yeah, they incited violence, and I mean, laws were written on the basis of lies they told or whatever. It's like, I feel like all we ever hope to get and all we ever get is, at the bare minimum, maybe they just like pause or stop what the left is doing, but they refuse to roll it back. Like,
I don't believe they're stopping anything. I think what's going to happen probably is some federal judge is going to dismiss
throw it out.
Case. Yeah, throw it out.
I wouldn't be surprised. Wait till Trump's out of office.
Because none of these judges are being impeached, removed from the bench.
And that seems like it should be the first thing
Not
on
one.
The docket.
Not one.
Yeah. So you might be the perfect person to say this to, because this is the phrase I've come up with that you know, you might push back on a little bit. I expect you to. But I keep thinking, if we want to save the Constitution, then people who love the Constitution are going to have to violate the Constitution in order to save the Constitution from people who hate the Constitution, want to destroy it.
I look at it like this. I don't believe any person who is a communist, or any Muslim for that matter, because Sharia is Islam. And I'm going to say this right here. I also feel the exact same way about the Judeo-supremacists. These Orthodox Jews that believe that we need to be destroyed for their Messiah to come back, all of that. I don't believe someone like that can be a U.S. citizen and should be in our country at all. Mm. So I don't believe that's consistent with our Constitution. And I don't believe it's protected by our First Amendment either. I think they should be deported. They should be sent back. That's what I think.
Well,
If you're a communist, for example, you're trying to overthrow the United States government. If you're a Muslim and you're a sincere and devout Muslim, you're also trying to overthrow the United States government and establish Sharia. And if you're an Orthodox Jew who, like these rabbis you've been playing, who believe that the West must be destroyed, that Islam is the broom of Israel, that you want to destroy the West, you also need to be kicked out of the country.
Like, we're under no obligation to be like, that's fine, you can stay.
But
like, why
stay
would
here.
We let
right.
that? Because
These dual citizen Israelis, like the guy who runs around wearing his uniform, like Randy
Brian
Fine.
Brian Mast and Randy Fine.
They shouldn't be serving in Congress.
By the way, happened to be the two that were sent down to Venezuela as the congressional dispatch there.
This, as far as I'm concerned, this Constitution, like John Adams said, is written for a moral people only, a Christian nation only.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian nationalist. I don't care how you want to spin that. We're under no obligation to be invaded and taken over and destroyed by people who don't share our values. Like this mass H-1B. One more reason I don't support J.D. Vance.
Right.
I don't like the fact that he's married to an Indian. He's going to want to just keep having more H-1B visas coming in. Where's he at on
And why do you think Tallarico is taking over the Texas Senate race right now? It's
right.
Because we were the number one target for the people coming over from Mexico, obviously, largest border, but also the H-1Bs. I mean, they are fundamentally changing the demographic makeup of this country on purpose in order to, bring this ultimate conclusion about.
Yeah.
So,
and Texas is the epicenter right now.
Yeah. And it's just like at a certain point, and again, I just try to think of it, treat others as you like to be treated. And it's just like, I would never go to your country and advocate its destruction and then expect to be treated nicely.
Yeah.
Like, why would I expect to be able to go and say,
right,
I hate this country and it should be destroyed. And then you're kicking me out. What? It's just like, if people say stuff like that, I think it'd be perfectly valid for our government to just go, you're out of here. Even if you were born here. I mean, I've seen videos of people born here, being videoed, and they go, hey, if America went to war with Iraq, who would you support? And they're like, Iraq all the way. It's like, okay, goodbye. Like, why should we be expected to share our country with a traitor?
That's the problem also with what the Supreme Court just did. They just injected this country with a lethal dose of poison.
Yeah.
That decision is
birthright citizenship.
That's it. So how do you fix that? What's the likelihood we're going to be able to replace those judges and get that fixed anytime soon? Look how long it took to turn over Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
It took all that time to save babies' lives from being murdered by the millions. Our country will be dead before that happens. So, like I said, there's really no political way out of this. We need to just realize you're not voting your way out of this because of all of these reasons. So prepare yourselves to walk the founder's path. Politics can play a role. But in the end, like a third party, maybe the real benefit of a third party would be that we all get to know each other.
Yeah, get organizing, do some conferences. Yeah, and build the sort of infrastructure that you need for that sort of stuff. But again, it's like we're sort of running out of time. And with all the censorship or surveillance stuff coming down, and it's not just the flock cameras. I mean, they're incorporating the phone stuff as well. And now there's just like a totally accessible, like, just cameras on all the time. I mean, now they're talking about like incorporating in every dash cam to this on every Uber and every Waymo. It's like,
and
what do you
local?
Think they're doing with it? What do you think they're going to do with this once it's in place? What could they possibly be using this for?
Some police officers use it to spy on their ex.
Find nice women,
or track down chicks that they like,
Observe the child's gymnastics class, I guess.
I mean,
on
that
an
prosecutor
afternoon.
And that FBI agent trying to arrange a threesome with a defendant, I'm sure they can keep on doing that stuff, right?
That's not even surprising. With some of the stories we heard about the FBI during Biden's administration, it was literally just like trans furry people.
No. The FBI
should
be scattered.
We're so bad, dude. It's so bad. Everything in our country sucks.
It is. But we know who wins in the end. This goes back to the importance of our faith in Christianity.
Yeah.
But hey, Christian men, I believe, have an obligation to stand up. I think what we're going to wind up needing in the end is a new crusade.
And we've been talking about this the entire time you've been coming on our show, or I've been watching you on Alex. The role of the churches has been neutered, and it needs to come back. And churches need to be on the forefront of this cultural battle. It's not all about what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. That's very interesting, but it's got to apply to today. There are threats today that are coming from non-Christian actors, and Christians need to be able to recognize and fight back against it.
Yeah.
And American churches have been totally neutered in that regard.
What did it take to save Europe? That wasn't done through elections and running for office. It was done through a military crusade.
Yeah.
So they drove Islam out. I don't believe England, France, anywhere in the UK, Ireland, Scotland, I don't believe any of those countries can be saved through politics. It's going to take a crusade.
And if America even was consistent in what we say on the world stage, we'd be running guns to Ireland and the UK right now.
Exactly right.
Why are we willing to run guns to radical Islamists to oust the Bashar al-Assad for 15 years? We run in a freaking civil war there
to Libya.
By proxy. And Libya.
Right.
And when it comes to that, it's like no question. Of course we're going to go in and wreck everything and destroy everything.
The Mujahideen during the occupation by the Russians in Afghanistan.
We're more than willing to engage if
Stinger
we see
missiles,
the slightest threat to freedom around the globe. And then you've got a literal genocide going on in the British Isles. I mean, when you have a town of 300 people being delivered 1,250 adult men, like just happened to Piddington in the UK. I mean, it's not even an option. What are they going to do? Fight? They're outnumbered 4-1. They can't outvote them. They can't outfight. They're being destroyed.
I disagree. Hmm. They can't outfight them.
If they had guns.
I have faith in the Irish. You're talking about Ireland or Britain?
Well, this is in Britain. I have faith in both, but they're disarmed. So, like, we should be running guns. Like, the American government should be airdropping crates of AK-47s to the Irish right now.
We should. You're right. But my message to them, though, is that men of England, men of Ireland and Scotland, you can still prevail.
Yeah. It's only going to get harder.
Hey, like Elon Musk told them at that massive rally that Tommy Robinson held. He's like, the fight's coming to you whether you like it or not. It's coming.
Literally Patrick Henry.
You're going to have to fight. Exactly right. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So nothing new under the sun. You're out there at Patrick Henry moment. That's where they are right now. We're approaching that fast ourselves, too.
Peace. It's just like you're literally talking to a cannon. You're talking to a loaded cannon that's pointed at your face. It's time to stop arguing.
I got
to
update Patrick Henry's speech for modern times. What do you think these flock cameras are for? They're meant for us. They're not meant. They could be meant for no other.
That's one story I played every July 4th. Like, that should be every kid in elementary school should memorize that Patrick Henry speech because it is even more, like, you know, pertinent now than it has been since 1776. The war is here, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, that was March 1775, right before the fighting started. And he was saying that speech in support of his own bill that they should start militias in every county. And it passed. And he became the first commander of the Hanover County Militia in Virginia.
That's the history we need.
There we go.
Alex Jones is in the studio, folks, with 1 minute left on the clock. He thought it was later than it was.
I can't even help it.
What's up, Alex?
I'm like a bull in a china shop. Sometimes I don't take, I like that watch. Sometimes I don't take over live shows on purpose. That was an accident. I've never seen this guy so happy in the 15 years I've known him.
Oh, yeah.
He's got his rights back, which he always had. A real barracking hero right there.
Long overdue.
He's going to spend decades in prison but wouldn't turn on Trump and make shit about him. But now we'll expose that Trump's betrayed us.
Absolutely. No, Alex, he didn't expect. He probably thought we were upstairs, not knowing we were in this room. All right. That's going to be it for us. Although 6:30 live, on Real Alex Jones at AJN Live. How else can they watch the stream?
Rumble.
And on Rumble, follow the AJN Live channel there. AlexJonesLive.com.
Rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShow Live,
and of course, AlexJonesLive.com. And you can follow me at Harrison H. Smith. And by the way, I retweeted the Gibson Go for Shani. So if you want to find if you want to find that and give to her, very important case, make sure to support her here at this final hour. So the SPLC is going down, and the victory party begins tonight at 6:30 p.m. August 20th. Stay tuned. Enrique Tarrio joins Alex Jones, Stuart Rhodes, and Joe Biggs for the celebration, dancing on the grave of the enemy, not just of us, but of humanity worldwide, the SPLC and the Hydra it represents.
Boy, like a ship that's torpedoed, fire exploding, listing at 9 degrees. It looks like it's going down.
It's going down.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited power!
I'm not going to be like that.
Well, I'm like that normally.
So. Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.